The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow.
So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay,
thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and we're about to go to practice to watch the first of 2 joint practices with the Patriots and the Eagles. Excited about that. These teams work together, apparently, according to Bill Belichick, very well when they're practicing together. So we expect a very brisk...
Not according to one of the Eagles cornerbacks.
Well, we'll get to that later. But a brisk, crisp practice today. A lot of snaps, a lot of reps, a lot of stuff getting accomplished for the Patriots and the Eagles. So that's going to be exciting. Of course, we'll have it all on Patriots.com. But right now, for the next 2 hours, we're talking Patriots here in PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Kevin's in the booth. I'm here. And lots to talk about. I really feel like this is going to be a big week for Patriots.com radio. We got a show today. We got a show Thursday. Then we got a game Friday with pregame social.
You have the fantasy guys this week, too,
Tuesday,
fantasy, Thursday?
Tuesdays and Thursdays. So this is a big week for Patriots.com, big preseason week for Patriots.com football.
It's always a big week for PFW, PFW yeah. Radio. I mean,
it is.
Kicking ass this time of year. This
well,
is when
you,
we,
it's,
this is when we make our money.
For you, it's EEI with Bill Belichick. Good job yesterday on EEI interviewing the coach. I know
that's no, it's a really interesting point. Interview.
Not always an easy thing to do. Especially when you don't have good questions.
Wait for it. See, I knew that was coming. Yeah, I knew somewhere there that was going to go south. I knew that wasn't going to be just a legit compliment.
But that was good. So, guys, what's up? What's on your mind?
No, I think I said that, Andy.
Some transactions since the last game. Patriots shuttling out some tight ends, bringing in some tight ends.
The Justin Jones era over.
Well, to me, this smacked of, we know who those guys are. Let's see who these guys are. If they stink, we'll just get rid of them and bring in our shadow roster.
Well, what was your takeaway from the game?
Isn't that the opposite of that?
Wait, what's a shadow roster? What does that mean?
That guy that they brought in. Begins with an M.
Mineri?
Yeah. They knew what he was like. You know. So
why would you bring a guy in you know what he is? Would you keep the guy you don't know what he is until you know what he is?
No, they knew now what those guys are. Say, okay, we know Mineri's better. So, you know, we gave them a shot.
How do we
bring him in?
You could say that with Hartsock. You could say, okay, he's a 10-year veteran. Yeah. We know what he is. He blocks. That's all you're going to get. Don't
Mineri was a tackle when he was here last.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure they know what he is.
Familiar with him. Familiar with him.
They're certainly not familiar enough
with Mineri.
They're not familiar enough to know that Jones stinks and Mineri's good.
Apparently they are.
No, they're enough to say they don't want Jones.
Yeah.
But I don't buy the rest of your theory.
Well, yeah. I think that there's a bunch of guys out there, and we've talked about this before, who they're familiar with that, you know, eventually they'll make an evaluation. Those guys are better than what we've got on the roster now. And they shuttle them in and out.
I'm going to make a prediction that Hartsock sticks around.
You think he will? because of his blocking ability?
Certainly not for
his pass catching.
Not for his receiving, but just Andy kind of touched on it. 10-year veteran. This is his 11th season. He knows what he needs to do. You can't make a snap judgment based on how he talks to the media, but came across extremely well yesterday. Talked about, you know, how exciting it is to be a role player for a team that embraces role players here in Foxborough. Just strikes me as a Patriot kind of guy.
That's what
it struck me.
Where's like his heart Mulligan? On his sock?
Like a Matthew Mulligan?
My God.
Is that what you're thinking about?
Far better than Matthew Mulligan.
I kind of like it.
But in that kind of role.
I mean, in that role.
In that role, yes. And that's what Bill said yesterday.
Oh, far better than Mulligan? So we'll wait till the Super Bowl before he becomes a key part of the passing offense, not the AFC
title
game?
We'll wait till that before he becomes.
Becomes?
Yes.
Becomes.
That's what happens when you go on big time radio.
That's what happens when you're trying to finish SPFW. I just answered the one where the guy goes, you guys need to be a little less critical of Justin Jones. Can't we let the preseason play out before we decide if he can't play?
Sure.
Why Bill didn't?
Sure.
That should just be your answer.
Right.
Why Bill didn't?
Yeah. Next question.
Yep.
Next question.
What other, you know, story topics do you want to throw out on the table?
The game?
Well, the game. We can talk about the game, I guess.
Pretty big one.
You know.
Garoppolo, Mallett,
yeah.
Timms, mm-hmm. The offensive line stinking, who played, who didn't. Yeah. Eric's right. We haven't had a show
my
since the game.
The 3-4?
Well,
they haven't.
Obviously, you know, 23-6, the way they played up until, Garoppolo came in was terrible. Both sides of the ball. My negative takeaways are the lines, both sides. I think the defensive line just couldn't get off blocks, couldn't make tackles.
Well, I think part of that too, Fred, is they're playing a 3-4 now, and
I don't care I don't care what they're playing.
But Chandler Jones isn't a defensive end anymore; he's an outside linebacker.
It wasn't effective, Chandler Jones didn't play. So, but you know,
I mean, in practice, he's
yeah, I'm
now
talking
an
about in the
linebacker.
Game. You know, I don't think the defensive front seven was effective whatsoever. And I know the Redskins really wanted to run the ball a lot, but you got to make those tackles. And the
and Steve Beauharnais did. Yeah. 7 yards downfield.
Yeah. And then the offensive line, you know, wasn't impressive at all. So I think, to me, the lines didn't play well. Positively, you know, I think that I think the secondary, even without Revis, I think they did pretty well. I think Butler showed up, made mm-hmm. some nice plays. Mm-hmm. I think Chung, you know, made some nice plays for what he is and what we know he is. I think he showed up.
He tackled well.
Yeah.
I thought on a night where
the front gave him that opportunity.
Well, I thought on a night where most guys looked like they were playing the first preseason game in terms of there were a lot of missed tackles on both sides. I thought the Redskins missed a ton. I thought the Patriots, it looked like the first preseason game. I thought he tackled well.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what
as
he does.
Should.
That's
yeah.
what he does.
Well, not only is that what he does, he has started – whatever, 50 games in the end. He was a starter playing with a lot of Youngs, backups, trying to prove themselves.
So, but at least he should show up, and he did.
Correct.
So
whereas
you'd be right.
Building off your point, the Nate Solder struggling is bad.
Right.
You know, some of the things you can say, oh, Jordan Devy's out there or this guy's out there. Nate Solder is your, in a year, $8 million left tackle. I don't care if he goes up against Brian Orakpo or J.J. Watt or whoever. He should be able to at least fight even and, hold his own.
And I know
he struggled all week.
And I know a lot of Patriots fans, and it's true, you know, from the get-go, most of the defense wasn't out there, most of the off, but for most of the game, it was twos versus twos, threes versus threes. So, you know,
it's not like they went against the Redskins once.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So we can't use that as an excuse for the poor
But that's why I'm, you know, I think Solder's an issue. Logan Ryan would be next on my list because
yep.
You think he's going to be at least a rotational factor in your defense, and I didn't think he did anything well.
Yeah,
couldn't tackle, couldn't cover, had penalties, everything you could do wrong,
lost
he did wrong.
Now, in his defense, I think that he's played much better in camp practices than he did last Thursday night. I think he's been, you know.
He's the anti-Jimmy.
Now, I will say, since that game, I've been kind of watching him a little bit, and I don't think he's played as well in practice Sunday or yesterday as he had been prior to that. So I wonder if he's dealing with wonder if he's dealing with something. And yesterday he seemed to be relegated to, you know, the secondary groups in a lot of the different stuff. They had some 7-on-7s where you have, you know, five defensive backs out there. And we saw a lot of Malcolm Butler, but we didn't see I should add
that
Browner was out. So yep. It opened up another opportunity in
Logan
Ryan.
We were right about Browner the other night when he did nothing at the end of the
Sunday. We thought that he got shaken up a little bit Sunday at practice. We, you know, Andy and I noticed him not only out, but not really even with the rest of the defensive players. He was kind of by himself. And, you know, we were trying to evaluate whether or not we thought he was limping coming off the field, and you know how you can never tell that.
He is so knock-kneed.
Well, that's part of the issue.
That is part of it, I think.
Does he have something going on, or is that how he walks?
But right. But Browner being out gave more opportunities, and Butler seemed to get them, not Logan Ryan. So I wonder if maybe, you know, it could be one of your things. They know what Logan Ryan is. They're finding out what a Malcolm Butler
and
is.
And Butler's playing well in
he
practice.
He is. I mean, he's the guy, you know, we always look for that one guy that emerges,
the free agent.
Small school guy. Mm-hmm. He's the guy.
Yeah.
This so far this year,
and he's gotten a lot of reps with the ones in practice, and then
he's
the
Randall
ones
Gay
games.
Of this camp, I guess, you know.
But the thing that Paul just said worries me, and Ben Volen threw this out there yesterday about Harmon. Well, they know what they have in Harmon there.
No,
they
do? Don't.
I mean, really? Because I don't. I don't feel. I mean, I know they see him a lot more, but I can't believe that they know what they have in Daron Harmon, and all these other permutations at safety are just, you know, see what everybody else can do. I think Harmon, if you think he's going to be the starter, I think he needs reps like a starter next to McCourty and Revis. And same thing with Logan Ryan. I don't know what Logan Ryan is at this point.
I agree.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I would want to get those guys as much. And I think that's one of the reasons why they were out there, you know, on the game on Thursday. There was 11 starters, I think, that didn't play.
Yeah,
they were among 11 that did. You know, guys like Harmon and Ryan got some time. Not extensive, but they got some time.
Yep.
And I don't think either one of them looked very good.
Now, Jake Beckett must be hurt, right?
He was hurt in that game.
He's back for that game. He was in practice.
He got something in Washington.
He got hurt in Washington.
He hurt his lower back, hamstring. He was doing, like, funny walking and stretching with the trainers. And
I had the same thing, though, Fred. Yeah. I mean,
you ready? You're just done with him?
I mean, what do you do at this point?
He has,
you know?
It seems, it finally seems like he was here every practice, all camp, and then the first game comes and he can't
and
play.
And he's in a hoodie.
And then the first practice after that, he can play.
Right.
So, this kid's just, his bad luck is following this kid.
It really is. So then, of course, Garoppolo, from the positive side, was the story. Mm-hmm. Came in and was just the opposite of what we've seen in camp. Mm-hmm. Looked confident, got rid of the ball. Not always 100% accurate, but got rid of the ball. Don't know if he made the right decisions, but he looked confident in doing them.
Sure.
Ran when he had to, showed the mobility, and really should have scored more than 6 points.
Yeah.
You know, led really three drives that were positive drives.
Should have
got robbed.
Points, yeah.
Should have robbed by the officials. Yeah.
So, just positives for Garoppolo and Tim's. You know, then we find out he's suspended for the first four games. But
that was so weird.
Yeah.
That a suspension can be around since April and not have it, like, be.
Well, but it's.
Well, when you're not on a roster,
yeah,
I think
when you're not a guy with a name,
yeah.
I don't think people really pay attention.
I just think the minutia people, like Ravens Insider, who tweets everything for every team because he has access to the wire.
No, but when he tweeted it, we didn't pay any attention to the name, too.
No, I know, but when he signs with the Patriots, I thought he would have said, now remember, somebody.
Right.
I don't think. That had been out there. I agree. That was weird to me.
Like
that it hadn't been.
Yeah.
And that's probably why he was available 3 days into camp to sign when they got rid of the other guys.
You see guys that aren't on rosters that it gets announced that they're suspended.
Oh, it was announced just in April.
Yeah. But I don't remember it, you know.
Well, I wouldn't have. Cause
right. That's why would we?
But the people that were announced it, like Ravens Insider tweeted about it in April.
Right.
So he's Mr. Minutia. How come he didn't tweet when the Patriots signed him and then the Boston Globe picks that up? It was very weird. And Miguel, by the way.
Just in case.
Pat's Cap Miguel is the guy who broke it locally.
That's he did. Just people, in case they don't know what we're talking about, Tim's, who had a nice night Sunday, came out shortly after that. He is, in fact, suspended for the first four games for a PED violation prior.
Adderall.
Yeah.
He claims he's been taking Adderall and what's the other Ritalin since he was 9 years old, and he kind of said, you know, he didn't really have the money and things to go through the proper channels to get the therapeutic
clearance,
which he now has.
Yep.
He can take it legally now.
Okay, you know,
but it's not retroactive.
No,
right.
So. And I think it benefits him and the Patriots.
Oh, it's a huge benefit.
I think he's going to make the roster, quote unquote, reserve suspended. And you now have a month to see what else is going on with Dobson, you know, see if Amendola gets hurt, see whatever. Maybe Boyce gets a last-ditch effort.
If you keep Boyce and he just does nothing in September and say, you know what, this kid was coming on, we're going to put him on the roster in October.
It's a major flaw with the NFL rules. Yeah. You benefit because you have guys on your roster suspended.
It's
you get extra players.
Right, right.
It's your shadow roster.
Right. Now, you guys didn't like what you saw out of Boyce. I thought Boyce was okay in the game. I thought he made.
I thought Boyce made one play in the game that I said, that's what I've been looking for, but he doesn't do it enough.
Well, he only had two targets. Right, I think.
I thought he had three catches.
Well, maybe okay, but I think he did okay. I didn't
he made one,
see any negatives from Boyce.
Well, he ran across the middle right into a guy, you know, and again, you don't know exactly what the responsibilities are, but
it's never to run into a guy.
Certainly Christian and Matt on the telecast, Christian Fourier and Matt Chatham both explained how, and it was a play that Mallett immediately gestured and not necessarily taking the quarterback every time, but I generally side with the quarterback when there seems to be confusion on a route running. He immediately made a gesture with his hand about, you know, I think he flattened the route out and he was probably supposed to take it a little bit more upfield and away, and he ran, they showed the replay, he ran directly into the lone defender that was in the middle of the field and gave Mallett nowhere to throw the ball.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I think that probably gets him in trouble and probably has not earned him more playing time as a rookie last year. And I still just the utter inconsistency. I want to really embrace this guy.
Because you like Boyce.
I've been talking about it for a long time. I like the set of skills that he has. I just don't ever see it on any semblance of a consistent basis right. enough. I say the same thing about Tompkins. I don't see it consistently enough. For some reason, he's a different kind of receiver than Boyce, and I guess that he's probably more advanced than Boyce, but I look at both of them in very similar fashions. They both madden me with their inconsistency.
Yeah, I'm done with Boyce.
You're done with him.
You know how you seem like you're kind of done with Beckett. I don't see enough positive. I don't see the speed on the football field that he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be like this yeah. track guy. They throw him these deep balls, and I don't see that extra gear to go get it. You know, I actually heard fans in Washington mocking him. He was open. He got behind a corner, and one of the quarterbacks threw it up, and he just couldn't go get it. It's almost like he broke stride and slowed down rather than I've seen nothing of any consistent value to warrant keeping him.
Okay.
Tim's, to me, has already been a little bit more impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to make too much of the Zach Sudfeld, you know, Tim's comparison, but to me, Boyce is nothing. Is nothing of any value that I've seen.
Tim's has shown up a little
kicks.
Bit. Tim's has shown up a little bit in practice.
Yeah.
And Boyce, to me,
I haven't seen enough on the kickoff returns for me to say.
And you won't really till game. You got to see that in the games.
Yeah.
You know, if he comes out and has like three really great returns, maybe that's enough to save him or to give him a role in that area specifically.
And I know returns are, you know, fairly important, but they're so much less important than they used to be on a team. There's so many less
returns.
Kickoff returns.
Yeah, you're right.
He reminds me a little bit of Brandon Tate 2.0. A guy coming out of college. I know he had an injury coming out of college too.
Supposedly he would have been
a speed guy, a good receiver, all this stuff. And I mean, I know he's with Cincinnati or had been with Cincinnati.
But you're right. It's a good I keep bringing up Bethel Johnson because Bethel Johnson was a guy who they never really asked to be a regular receiver, but every once in a while they'd ask him to go get a deep ball for them, and more often than not he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly, like Andy says, he hasn't seen the speed. Well, that's what you're talking about. When he's on the field, Bethel Johnson used to demand, attention because he was going to run by you.
Yep.
And I don't know if this guy, A, can do that consistently, and B, when he does he catch the ball? And there was another one at practice yesterday, deep crossing route over the middle, a little high. The pass was a little high from Brady, but not too high. Bang, off his two hands. Up in the air, and what happens to those passes? They get picked off. Mm. Nate Ebner was back there. He grabbed an easy interception. That's the kind of stuff that I could see Brady's. You got one shot.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is one that I'm not criticizing Brady about. I can't throw the ball to a guy when it might Ben Watson off his hands and end up in the other team's hands. You know what I mean? I can't do that. You know, unfortunately, Brady spent the whole entire season in 2006 having to do that with Ben Watson. That's why he ended up not going to the Super Bowl, but, you know, I digress. What are you going to do?
Ben Watson just, like, taking shots from
He was the best receiver on that team. I know Rishay Caldwell was the leading receiver in, statistically, receptions, but
nice
Ben
positive
Watson
play
was
for your
player.
Guy, James Devlin.
Jimmy.
You know?
Love Jimmy.
Took a little pass and about 13 yards
He's
out of it.
He's always a little bit better than you think. He's a little more athletic than
he
you think.
He had a little bit of a down practice yesterday, but
don't be negative.
Kind of made up for it.
You know why? They didn't have full pads on.
You know, it's funny.
They didn't.
When they don't have full pads on, that's not Jimmy's environment.
That's true. I watched him a lot yesterday. He catches the ball so effortlessly for a big guy.
Yeah. For a defensive lineman.
For a defensive lineman. Bill called him a linebacker yesterday, and I always thought he played defensive line.
I thought he was a D-end.
He catches the ball so soft. And then he had, in some of the plays that Eric was talking about, even I didn't even look at as negative. Like, he got down the field about 20 yards with Jamie Collins. He had a step on Jamie Collins.
Oh, that's Jimmy. That's just Jimmy being Jimmy.
You know, and the pass came in, and he had his hands on it, and he wasn't quite able to secure it all the way to the ground. But that's not necessarily something I'm going to be – I just thought it showed – His athleticism for a guy his size.
I think we're starting to see the why he was the primary read on a play you had to have in Carolina for Tom Brady. He was ahead of the curve. He saw this depth and athleticism and options with Jimmy before we did.
Now, I would assume in this game coming up on Friday against the Eagles, we're going to see a little bit more of the ones, wouldn't
yes,
you?
I would assume. Well, I would assume we'll see the ones.
I'll let you know when we see what happens at practice.
Yeah.
Because that would be my assumption, but then I'm kind of worried. You know, tomorrow there's reports that it's supposed to be really nasty here.
Yeah.
And
raining,
I don't know if you get like some kind of a lightning storm that you can't practice in.
Yeah.
And you can't have two teams in that bubble, can you?
Not comfortably, no.
Probably not together.
No. You know?
They probably have to unjoin the joint practices.
Right.
Well, so I'm wondering about that, and I'm wondering
maybe
if that happens, does that alter the schedule? And maybe you do what you wanted to do Wednesday on Thursday and say, well, the ones are going to sit again. You know, is that outrageous to think that something like that could happen?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's only preseason.
This was a Paul and Eric, you know, pull it out of your butt as you're walking upstairs yesterday after the podcast. Maybe this is what they'll do. I don't know. It's just something that popped into my head.
I wouldn't rule it out.
Because I would think on surface that you would at least see some of Brady Friday night.
Well, I'm also thinking about the defense. You know, some of the defense.
You know, that's something that I found interesting is, and I know it was basically the whole group, but the fact that Jamie Collins is now like a
linebacker.
Right. You know, just guy.
Right.
He's with Mayo. He's with Hightower. He's with, you know, he stays on the sideline.
And he looks confident. You know, he doesn't look like the third guy.
He's hard to look
that's
shy
the way
with
he looked last year.
With a golden grill in your mouth.
No, I mean,
there's no shortage of confidence in that kid.
You also might have to see more of Brady because, as we said earlier, Ryan Mallett hasn't been on the field the last couple of days. If he continues not to be.
Just go wire to wire with Jimmy.
Well, I mean, you could do that, but.
Brady Quinn, by the way, signed with Miami.
Yeah.
So now if we trade Mallett for Andre Johnson, we're not going to have a veteran backup.
Okay. So the deal's off, Bill.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. What is it? I forget the 855-PATS-500. Is that what
it is? I believe
it is
855-PATS-500
is the toll-free number. Do we get a lot of people using that?
I don't know.
Aren't you supposed to check those things occasionally?
Know. Where's Kevin?
I don't know.
Are we getting lunch?
He's asking a lot of questions.
More important.
From the Patriots? No.
No.
Yeah, there's dinner.
There's dinner.
There's dinner from
there's
the
media
Patriots
dinner.
Later. But do you want to get something? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But then it's going to be too late. You're going to have to go out. The timing's off.
I get this event I have to do tonight.
What saw you with your fancy clothes up.
Tech event upstairs.
Oh.
But I have to be there at 4:30.
What do you mean tech event?
So you're going to have to you'll be able to see some of it.
Some of it.
Oh, you have to be there at 4:30?
You have to be there at 4:30. I have to leave and
you
change.
Made me laugh a little the other day with your when Bill was complaining about the Wi-Fi and you should have used and whatever you tweeted out some network or something.
You
made me laugh. The only problem I was thinking is, what if they were using that network and now he's complaining about
it? I'm pretty sure they weren't. That's why I did it.
Okay.
By the way, I could, AT&T and my iPhone, I couldn't send a text during the game.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
Unbelievable.
Today's day and age.
Today's day and age.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andrew started off in Buffalo. Hey, Andrew. What do you think about having Bon Jovi as the owner of the Bills? I guess he's the front runner.
Yeah, how y'all been, though?
He doesn't care.
We're good. We're good. How you been?
I've been good. I was telling Andy, during the game, right before the game started, I haven't called in a while. Basically, just took a break from, the show and just wanted to hear everyone's intake and stuff. But, I just kind of wanted to talk about the offensive line like I did when I called last time. And it's still an issue. And the thing with Nate Solder, it's nothing new. He's been struggling against those elite pass rushers like we've been saying for the past few months. And I feel like it's going to be an ongoing issue. Now, did they extend him or did they put the fifth-year option on him?
Yes.
On the contract?
Yes, for $7-point-something million dollars.
Yeah, and I see why they did it because obviously we don't have no one else. But like I said, again, when the season linger on, you're going to see those words come back and he's just going to keep struggling against those really good pass rushers. And Dan Connolly, I heard that he was moved to center, and I want to know, what y'all think about that, because I believe he was part of the problem, too, along with with the other center who was just cut, I believe, Wendell.
He was not.
No,
cut.
He's not cut. No.
Not unless you know something we don't know.
I heard he was on the bubble.
Well, he may be on, the, bubble theoretically, but he was second half in that preseason game and has seen a lot of second team reps over the last week. I think Connolly is not great at guard. I think Connolly is a better player at center. I think Connolly is better than Wendell at center. I think there's a your better line maybe with him. Now, I don't know who the guard's going to be. Right. Josh Klein seems to be sort of a popular guy, the super sub and all that.
What about Cannon?
I guess. I've never loved Cannon.
I don't like him either.
He might be better as a guard. I haven't seen enough Cannon guard play where I'm willing to say he's good, he's bad, whatever. I just the Solder one is interesting to me because I think they think Solder's really good.
Oh, I know. I do too.
I think they're
he is really good, but he's not elite. He's not an elite.
Well, he's back to being Matt Light is what we're back to.
Right.
When we said Matt Light, you know, he's good except when he faces those elite pass rushers
right.
And you know, where does he rank? Is he the eighth best tackle or whatever? But he's what they have.
Well, but Light
he's what
was,
they wanted.
Light was weird because he would have sometimes great games against great pass rushers. And terrible games against, like, other pass rushers. There were certain guys where he did well against you.
He had bad matchups.
Yeah, he had bad matchups against, like, you couldn't pin it down, though. You couldn't say, oh, it's a good pass rusher. He's going to have a bad game.
Jason Taylor, you could pin down. He was going to have a bad game.
Yeah.
Right.
But most of the time, you didn't know which good pass rusher
and you were going to get 13 good weeks out of him, 12 good weeks, and then a couple where you're like,
but that's life as a left tackle. I mean, I think it's
well, it's life as a second tier.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like the quarterback thing. When you're the fifth, sixth, seventh best quarterback, there's a big drop-off from Manning, Rodgers, Brady. Just like there's a big drop-off between the truly elite left tackles and then that next group. And I think Light was in that group, and Solder right now is certainly right around that group.
He's got to be in the Light group because if he's any less, then there is trouble.
But he's going to be in trouble also, the money thing. You know, now we have that seven and change that you throw out there. I like to throw out there sarcastically.
Right.
Well, if they sign him to an extension and he gets $40 million or whatever the going rate for
and
that.
Look at what Dallas just did with Smith.
Well, yeah.
I mean, but, you know, is he that much better than Nate Solder?
I don't really know.
Because if I'm Nate Solder's representatives, that's kind of something I'm using in my negotiations.
He was a much better prospect coming out.
Oh, yeah.
He plays left there now, right? Not right anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And and also the penalties, too. I don't, man, it's crazy with these penalties. And that is going to destroy our defense. I know we have Revis, but we don't have a lot of corners that know how to play the ball. I mean, Alfonso Dare have shown signs of that where he plays the ball. I don't really see that much from McCourty. Usually it's just a really good tackle and the guy sort of drops the ball. You don't see him playing the ball a lot. I think we're going to get in trouble with these penalties. And Logan Ryan, I think he played very horrible in the preseason. I feel like these penalties are going to be a problem with our defense. I want to know what y'all guys take on that. And think.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of penalties in the game.
I just chalked that up to first preseason.
Yeah, I think it's really no different than any other team at this point.
Yeah.
There were a lot of penalties preseason week one.
Not really worried
the
about that.
Yeah. There were just as many on Washington.
Right. Yeah. So I'm not so worried about that. I'm
really not either.
You know,
I think Browner, it's going to be an issue because of the way he plays, but I don't worry about it as a whole.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like whatever it is, if they're gonna continue it throughout the regular season, then it is what it is.
Right.
It affects everybody.
As long as they call it the same for both sides, then that's fine. I like our Revis. It's like, you know, it's a muddy track. Well, it's a muddy track for both teams, and I'll still take the better offensive team, you know, because they know what they're doing. They know where they're going. So as long as the playing field is even, I'm good with. I'm not worried about penalties.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's been the most overblown storyline of the weekend was just – all the comparisons to the penalties that there was supposedly, it would have been like an amazing increase. I don't know the exact percentage of increase.
But
combining all of the defensive holding and illegal contacts from the regular season last year to the week one of the preseason, there's no way it's going to end up.
I will say,
that.
I feel it's just my perception that there's more preemptive strikes from coaches this year, not just Bill Belichick, who we've already heard, but from other coaches. Kind of, you know, making snarky comments aimed at how things might be refereed this year, and league is putting the new. A lot of coaches are already getting those preemptive strikes out there.
Yeah, what I found interesting, and I don't know if this is something that's been happening in previous years, and maybe I just wasn't aware of it, but some teams have used have their defensive backs wear boxing gloves. I think Cleveland was doing that.
So you can't grab.
Yeah, other teams have been having them hold tennis balls. So you have not. You can't use. I don't remember hearing stories
Punching's
like this.
Illegal too, though.
So I like the tennis balls better because I feel like if you give Brandon Brown or boxing gloves, he'll use them.
Tompkins will be going at it.
Just, you know what?
Cortland Finnegan or one of those.
You brought up the Browner thing.
You give me gloves, I'm going to use them.
You know, and the penalty that he got in the game, it was absolutely less egregious than anything we've seen on the practice field.
Correct.
But that's a hold like 20 years ago.
Right.
He grabbed his shirt, and the whole shirt, I think it was Robinson, 15.
I think he's going to go
with the...
The
whole shirt came away from his body. Like, that one was going to get called by even the worst referee because you could see the shirt leave the guy's body.
I think he's going to go with the theory you can't tow all the cars. You can't call all of them.
He's like a Philadelphia Flyer from the mid-70s.
I'm going to take my one or my two, but you're not going to keep throwing it. Let's be honest. You're not going to stop the game for me every play.
Right. All right. Let's go to now Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, so how y'all doing?
Good.
Let me guess. You really like this Brian Timm story once you found out he was a Moss disciple and a deep ball guy, likes a little separation. You like him, huh?
Yeah, I like his films better.
You like his what? His films?
I like Quentin Sims better.
Oh, jeez. Good Lord.
If you get some mallet, you can get some Brady, too. But, no, my problem is...
Dodge a wrench.
I'm more worried about Soldier.
Soldier.
Yeah. I'm more worried about him, man. If he struggles with a rapper ball, like that, Brady come in. Man, I don't like it. I don't like it.
And he just to make sure you are aware, he did struggle with him during the week too on the practice field. It was it could be like we said, it could be a bad matchup.
Right.
Could just be one of those guys, and that guy really kills.
He's got my number.
Yep.
He knows my technique and he's got the perfect, counter to my technique.
Okay, but also on the defense side, have you ever thought that some people are better practice players than they are game players? Some people are more better game players than practice, like Ryan.
Yep.
Better player than game, and Garoppolo's better game than practice.
You see that?
Well, I mean, we need to pump the brakes on, these grand long-term beliefs based on one game.
But there are players like that,
And his success came throwing the ball deep, which is something you can kind of just do. Like, I'm going deep to Tim's here.
There was no one pressing Tim's at the line. He was running free, wide open, and he was throwing a ball up to him.
Now, conversely, if you can't hit a slant like Ryan Mallett couldn't, well, then I feel like I can make some year four conclusions based off that.
And I also don't want to make it out to be that Mallett's been good in practice and played bad in the game, which some people are saying Mallett, everybody's talking about how
Mayock
much better Mallett
was. Good.
Mallett was better than Garoppolo in practice.
True.
But I, by no means would I say Mallett played well in practice.
Right.
I think he was just better than Garoppolo.
Yeah.
During the camp. But during the game, Mallett was about the same as he was in practice, and Garoppolo was much better than he was in practice.
And then, I don't know if we did mention it specifically, but of course, Mallett was not on the practice field after the game. We suspect.
Sunday and Monday.
We suspect, on a slide or somewhere he tweaked that knee, but, we're not sure.
Yeah, and Bill hasn't gotten into it, not surprisingly.
But my question is Ryan, because Ryan was terrible in the game. I didn't see the game. I didn't see the game, but like I said, I streamed after the game. He looked terrible. Terrible.
Well, he didn't have a great game, and I think we've all said he hasn't evolved over 4 years like you probably want him to.
Yeah.
But, we said the same things about Matt Cassel.
There's a lot of similarity with Matt Cassel. Fourth year.
He's talking about Logan Ryan, not Ryan Mallett.
Logan Ryan
was terrible in the
Logan
game.
Ryan.
Yeah, he was terrible. He did nothing good in that game.
I'm like, shoot, during practice, y'all said, he looked very good, but take each other in the game.
Yeah.
And like I said before.
He looked lost. He looked a little lost, like too much on his mind, thinking too much, maybe.
Maybe he is. Maybe he's thinking slot, outside, safety, too much on his plate.
Thanks, Eldridge.
He's no Taylor McCullough. He can't just take it in stride.
Let's go to Sean in New Hampshire. Hey,
Bill
Sean.
Bill talked a little about that yesterday.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So, top of the morning to you.
Good day, mate.
Yeah. I didn't want to kind of keep piling on. You guys kind of already got some callers who are talking about stuff, but I just wanted to mention one thing. I watched the game, and replayed it. I noticed that Bernhardtis is... He's kind of late on almost every play. I don't know what to make about the.
Well, there was one play, certainly on a sideline pass, that he was very late in coverage.
I haven't been overly impressed with Steve Beauharnais in a year and a half here, and I know I was part of a broadcast that made him out to be the next Mike Singletary on the preseason. You know, he was Matt Chatham's guy to watch, and then he was Matt Chatham's guy who looked really good that I watched, and
I
he
got
had
a little behind
tackles,
the scenes insight on that if anyone's interested.
I haven't seen anything from Steve Beauharnais.
First, let's just say, like, you know, what Andy just said, he's like a 52nd, 53rd guy, like, hoping to hang on.
Right.
He was a seventh-round pick
Never
last
should have
year.
Been drafted.
He was redshirted, you know, more or less. I think he participated in two games. So it's not like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? Steve Beauharnais looked awful. This is a guy who is clinging to a roster spot in NFL life. Just real quick, about 15 minutes before the game, is when the broadcast crew realized the extent of the people that weren't going to play at all. That spotlight was supposed to be Jamie Collins, not Steve Beauharnais. So you sort of had to scramble around a little bit when we realized none of the linebackers were going to play. I don't know if they just stuck with a linebacker for Matt, who was a linebacker when he played, Matt Chatham. But I was laughing yesterday. He and I were in the tent, and we were talking about, you know, the feedback that we had gotten, and he goes, you know, and after I watched the game back, he goes, boy, I really dropped the ball on Beauharnais. He was really, really late a lot on some pass coverage things, and I bit my tongue because Andy and I were like, what are we doing? I mean, like, Beauharnais, he's like 7 yards downfield on every one of these tackles. What are we spotlighting here? But, you know, sometimes
it was kind of tough. Like,
sometimes it doesn't work out the way you hope.
Yeah, sometimes it seemed like he had the play, but he got out juked. And then other times, like, the whole team read it wrong, and then he was just out of position.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of great instincts from him. I haven't seen a lot of quickness in the box.
Like anticipation, you know? Like, you've done that play 1,000 times. You know what it's going to be.
Right.
Get it.
He looks like the next in that line of, what was the guy, Freddie Roach and... Is that his name, Freddie Roach? Roach.
Yeah, Alabama.
These guys come through, and then you realize they don't really have it.
Right. But he wasn't billed as this next generation
like,
type.
Except on
he was a seventh round pick.
Yeah. Nowhere except the preseason broadcast.
He barely got drafted.
Right.
Yeah, I guess
it's not like he's disappointing.
So in the spotlight, what he was doing because the other guys weren't playing.
Now,
the other guy I wanted to flip to was I'm hearing a lot of good things and bad things on Travis Hawkins. So like I said, I rewatched the game, and I actually saw a lot of people were saying he had a bad game, but I want to get your take on it because you guys saw him play. I thought that he was kind of helping out his teammates in a lot of plays, making up for them.
I didn't
see where he got torched deep like Green or, I mean, Ryan had probably the worst game I ever saw him play. I didn't see where Travis Hawkins got beat consistently. What did you guys think?
Well, I didn't really notice a whole lot of Travis Hawkins other than his kickoff return.
He was playing safety.
He played in the third and fourth.
He played, but I didn't notice him. They didn't throw the ball virtually at all in the second half. They ran a ball.
I think if he makes the team, it's as a special teamer.
He can fly.
It's sort of unique when you see a safety returning kicks, and if he can be a gunner and make, then who knows what comes down the road at safety, but I think he's going to need to make the team as a core special teamer.
It's funny because we were there on Sunday watching practice.
He's at least as good overall as Norris Davis.
We were watching practice on Sunday, and Hawkins was returning a kick, and that's the first time to me he flashed. It's like I said to Andy, "Go, wow, he's pretty fast."
Oh yeah, he's a 4.3 type guy.
He's been returning kicks every day in camp, and that's obviously the reason.
I would guess that he, you know, certainly by the way they've sort of deemed it, he has more defensive upside. Canoris Davis, from afar, has no defensive. They just let him play special teams. Yeah. He's either going to be the next Pro Bowl gunner on this team, or he won't be on.
Well,
this
because
team.
He's built like the Hulk. He can't move. He can't move his body.
Like a,
he really
what do they
is.
Call that a brick poop house?
Tight-skinned.
He's a tight-skinned
athlete.
Tightly wound.
In the draft.
I like Canoris, and I just root for him because he has big arms, and I'd love to see, you know, a guy who loses his helmet and runs down, you know, he looks like he could have that big arm, special teams, like, you know, James Harrison when he was breaking in. This just freak who just runs down on special teams and blows, I almost said,
people
S-H,
up.
up.
All right, thanks,
you guys,
Sean.
You do a great job, man. Okay. I love this show. I'm going to start calling in more often.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Alex.
Sean from New Hampshire.
Now he's pissed because you cut him off.
we just can't go on forever.
Now I'm never going to call again.
Elvis is in North Carolina. Elvis, you're in the house.
I thought he was in Tennessee.
So anyway. I just see some of the same problems on the Patriots that, like, it's like nothing has changed. And I'm not basing too much on one preseason game, I understand.
I think you are, actually.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't
most
even
the guys that played.
Right,
won't
these
be
aren't
playing.
Even the Patriots that you're going to see on the field. So,
well, I think if we have this conversation, you know, week 12, you guys are going to be talking. We're going to be talking about the receivers having problems. There's, you know, you think Tommy Kelly and, you know, these guys, Chris Jones went down in this game. We have a serious issue on the defensive line, the interior defensive line, and, you know, you got guys going down. And I mean, I don't expect Tommy Kelly the last three or four games.
Well, why?
Well,
because
he
got hurt last year.
Because
he blew out an ACL. Well, he showed a durability for 11 years in the NFL until he blew out his ACL.
He played 16 games like eight or nine different times in his career. Last year, he tore his ACL.
So, you know, Brady needs to show some durability because he blew out his ACL once.
And I also think there's more depth there than you think.
You know, draft guys that are washed up and expect, you know.
Why was he washed up? Did he not play well in the first month of the season last year?
Paul is just attacking Elvis.
He didn't play that well.
I thought he looked really good. I thought he and Chandler Jones had a 1-2 inside out punch.
I thought he looked pretty good too.
So you think Tom Kelly's going to go 16 games?
I don't really care if he goes 16 or not. I think they have more depth at that position than you do. I think Dominique Easley was drafted in the first round for a reason. I think he can play. I think that Silver Salinga showed last year that he can be a reasonable run stopper. They had some guys that played full time last year that are third or fourth in the depth chart now. I think that they have more depth at that position than you think.
What's that?
They didn't play. The Redskins didn't run over them. They weren't on the field.
Right.
Silver Salinga didn't play?
No.
He's hurt.
He got hurt in practice the day before. Or two days before.
Well, you have more confidence in their depth on the inside line than I do. And then interior line than I do. And like receiver. You don't expect receiver to be a problem. I mean, I think they need to get rid of Boyce. If you're still expecting Dobson to turn it around, then, you know, you believe in Santa Claus.
Turn what around?
I'd like to
who,
see them
who needs to turn what around?
Maybe,
well,
I was like, distracted there.
They're not pinning their hopes on Dobson. Wide they're receiver. Pinning their hopes on Gronkowski, Amendola, and Edelman.
But turn what around? To
Elvis,
me, he
I'm
had
with
a
you
typical
on the
rookie
wide receivers.
Year. He had a typical rookie year, and he had an injury.
Yeah, I don't think much of the
to
wide
me,
receiver.
To me, if you use that phraseology for, if you're expecting Danny Amendola to turn it around, okay, that's fair. He's in year six. Okay, so he is what he is. I don't think Dobson is what he is at this point. I don't know what he is.
He doesn't need to turn anything around.
But,
I don't know how good he is.
Right, but that's different.
I agree with
around.
Elvis on the wide receivers. They do concern me a little.
I mean, if
they concern everybody.
If Elvis, if what you're saying is if the Patriots are depending on Aaron Dobson, they're in trouble, I would agree. But I don't think they are.
I mean, yeah. At the very least, they went out and added a veteran receiver. Now, whether you like LaFell or don't like LaFell and what do you think is different, but they've added
a
veteran receiver.
So what do you think I think of LaFell?
You think he stinks and drops a lot of balls.
They, right. Exactly.
And I would say in Elvis's to support Elvis's argument, you said they're not relying on Dobson. No, but they are relying on Gronkowski.
Right.
And I think that's a dangerous game to play. Now, that's one that if Elvis had asked me, do I think he's going to play 16 like he did with Tommy Kelly, that I do care about. I don't think he'll play 16 games, and I think your offense is dramatically weakened if he doesn't, because they just don't have anybody to
plug
in.
You know, obviously I haven't seen as much as I should have of these guys, but I think Brian Timms and Malcolm Butler need to be moved in. We need some fresh blood in those positions. And you saw, I mean, Logan Ryan was horrible. He was just following guys around after they caught the pass. And it's not the first time he's looked bad out there. I think, you know, I think Brian Timms, you got to go with new blood. I don't expect Josh Boyce to produce. Dobson, like you said, I can't depend on him. Tompkins, you know, it's a roll of the dice. Is he going to go into the shell? And so insert Timms, insert somebody into the right. I would have preferred them to go out and get somebody other than LaFell. And then Malcolm Butler needs to be on the other side. How many times have we seen little Patriots defensive backs give up third and 20, third and 19? How many years have we seen that? I mean, I'd like to see some fresh blood. Of course, you know, Revis is there, but
that's fresh blood.
One guy.
Elvis, you're not a real big believer in the year two jump, apparently, since every guy who was a rookie last year, you want nothing to do with this year.
Well, who? I mean, I haven't
Boyce,
seen any...
Dobson, Tompkins, Ryan, all guys you said, I don't want to see. I want fresh blood. They're barely into their second season. They are fresh blood.
Yeah,
if you believe in the year two jump or improvement or the fact that Bill Belichick says the biggest jump for a player is from year one to year two, then they are fresh blood.
I think Dobson had some talent, but Dobson's had injuries all along, and now he's got a permanent screw in his foot.
Okay.
One of you guys said now he's permanently screwed.
So, yeah, I think that was Andy.
Sounds right. Like something I would say.
Don't blame me for that one.
I mean, I don't know about Dobson, but he would be the last guy on the roster. And I just see the same kind of thing shaping up. Where I know we didn't have Chandler Jones in there, didn't have those guys, but when you did have Chandler Jones and Ninkovich last year, you had. Or let's go back to two previous years. You had the Ravens, and then last year the Broncos. And they're standing back there, and their quarterbacks were untouched. I'm talking about last games of the season.
Yep. Correct.
All You're game right. long. And I don't see where that has changed.
That is a fair argument.
That's something that we're going to have to figure out. We certainly didn't get a chance to see how that would unfold. I just think that you're putting way too much stock on what you've seen so far in 2014. We have no idea what this team is.
For that in particular, you've seen nothing because
that's my point.
They didn't add anybody that you think is really going to have a major impact on the pass rush, right?
Well, I think Revis has a major impact on the pass rush.
I don't.
I do.
He doesn't.
You know,
you're going to rely on covering better, so your pass rush improves.
You know, I think now I don't really care about how many sacks the Patriots had last year, but I think now you're going to get timely pressure.
You know what
because
I think?
No, you're not. You're not going to get timely
because
pressure.
Of the
you're going to get coverage pressure.
Whatever. But
timely pressure means the pressure is timely.
Because of the coverage, you're going to be able to get to the quarterback.
So it's irrelevant of the pass rush.
It affects the pass rush.
No,
it doesn't.
Well, it does. Okay. It allows the pass rush to look better than it is.
I think you're going to get as many of those.
I'm happy to say that was a coverage sack.
Okay.
Because we don't get to say that a lot.
And
here.
That's fine.
And
but your pass rush is not more timely.
Fine.
But I think you're going to get as many times.
I'll be more than happy to say that was a coverage sack.
Okay.
And that's as long as I can say it.
I would be too if I got to say it frequently.
Right.
But what I think is going to happen, and I think what typically happens in these kinds of situations, is as many times as you say, wow, that was a coverage sack, you're going to say, that's not really Revis and Browner's fault. You can't cover him forever.
Well, yeah.
And I also don't think a lot of times...
Because that's what happens when you don't have a good pass rush.
No team in this league shuts, you know, very rarely, you know, except if you're the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. You don't see teams just shutting out teams completely in the passing game. You're looking to win most of them. And when you win most of them, you win the game.
I also don't think you see a lot of, quote, coverage sacks with frequency against great quarterbacks in AFC title games. Like, you're just going to sit back. I don't need pressure because I get Revis. And
well,
the 5,000 yards would be damned.
The only thing I could say
easily.
The only thing I could say
him,
for
right?
that is if Revis's presence...
Let's them
persuades Belichick to do some different things
right.
that he hasn't always done.
Okay.
To me, that's the only time they ever get any pressure is when they stunt, when they mm-hmm. blitz. They had some of that stuff, as you talked about, Andy, with Kelly and Chandler Jones doing the little mixing and matching loops and stuff like that. I thought that was effective early. Generally, when they line up and they just say, we're going to drop, you know, six or seven in coverage and they're going to go at you with three or four, they don't do it very well.
Right. And we haven't even seen Easley. So, you know, he's supposed to be a disruptor. So,
I had a question about Easley. If you wanted to, can you say he had some sort of like knee setback and put him on IR to return? How does that work?
I would.
Because I know it has to be a specific injury.
Yeah,
right?
I think anybody could be, yeah.
Could it be the same injury? Would you have to prove that it was not?
That he had a setback?
Or I don't know. I just was wondering.
I don't know.
I think you can say that.
I think you could put him on IR. Yeah. And designate him for return.
Oh, I see what you're saying for personnel roster.
I'm just wondering. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think it goes.
Yeah, the Patriots,
because you lost.
Yeah.
You lost NFL.
That's a hypothetical.
I don't think you could say that with confidence because you just don't know. You know, if you're writing.
I'm asking a Patriots.
Right. No,
a procedural
I get you. Now.
Can I kind of massage the situation if I need to?
Yeah,
I get
a hypothetical that I don't think would ever come to fruition because I think if they wanted to have that as a possibility, they just would have kept him on NFI.
Yeah.
But I think Andy's asking, does it have to be something different than what he came off of NFI
right.
for to qualify? And I don't think that would have to be the case. If he comes back and practices for 2 or 3 days and is just not responding, I don't see any reason why they couldn't buy 8 weeks and put him on IR. It's not like that benefits the team in any way. Right? I mean, they're not going to cut him anyway.
No.
First-round pick. So you're either going to put him on IR for the whole season or half the season.
Right.
In that scenario.
All right. Let's go to Justin in Virginia, who says he's Andy's favorite caller.
Hey.
I like this guy. I like him a lot. I like him.
I'm sorry. But, hey, I want to go over, like, Ryan Mallett. I really think we need to cut him, like, pretty soon.
Oh, I thought he was going to say some slack.
And it's not because Garoppolo shined or whatever in the first preseason game. I think even if right now Ryan Mallett is better than Garoppolo, I don't think the difference is so tremendously huge that we need to save a whole extra roster spot for someone that has, like, a lower ceiling than Jimmy Garoppolo, because you can say that. You can say that his ceiling might just be first-string quarterback. For 3 years, he's shown he can't be a first-string quarterback. And we're going off of the 10% chance that Brady gets hurt, and we're saving a roster spot for him, and also going off the 40% chance that he's even better than Garoppolo by the time Brady gets hurt.
How much, I mean, I know all 53 spots are important, but how important is that last spot that Mallett would be taking up in your scenario?
It wasn't last year.
You know, right.
With Jake Beckett and Steve Beauharnais and those, it wasn't important.
Guys never even dressed for the most part.
But you never know. I mean, this was supposedly a team that's built 1-53 in the depth and the middle class.
What you don't know, too, is where, you know, a couple callers ago when we had Elvis and we were talking about the depth. Well, the depth did take a little bit of a hit at defensive tackle. That was Elvis's point. With guys like Chris Jones and Silva Salinga because of their injuries. I don't know if they're going to be injuries that are going to keep them out for the preseason, but they'll be okay to go early on. So those are the kinds of things. If those two guys are going
to
be on your roster,
right, you have to keep those
to open the season,
spots.
Then that 53rd spot might be valuable, at least initially.
Right.
You don't think like a Malcolm Butler or a Roy Finch or someone like that could do more this year than someone like Ryan Mallett?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, but that's not fair.
Yeah.
That's not fair. I mean, a regular player will obviously do more than a backup quarterback that will never see the field, regardless of how good he is.
But you can have both.
But you have to have a backup quarterback.
Okay, one more thing. I really, with this offensive line, I don't think we really got that much better in the offseason. I'm kind of scared about it, honestly. Because you think about it, Brady got tossed around like a rag doll at some point last year. And we went from... okay, having that same offensive line. Brian Stork really hasn't turned over that center spot. John Jalapio, I don't think. Huh?
Brian Stork
got hurt.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been on the practice field in over a week. Well, he made a brief cameo on Sunday.
That's part of it to me. John Jalapio really hasn't turned over that guard spot. And you question how soon they're even going to do that. And we went from, like, the best offensive line coach in history to some guy whose last name sounds like guacamole.
I don't think that matters what his name sounds like, but I get your point. It's a transition.
Because you can take shots at Italians. Yeah. It's okay.
The offensive line is what it is. You have invested pretty heavily there, and whether you're getting return on that investment, that's up for debate. The pass rush was a problem last year, but you have a $50 million left guard. You have a soon-to-be $8 million first-round left tackle. You have a right tackle second-round pick who you invested in. You have a Dan Conley as a guard or a center who's one of your top 10 cap numbers. I mean, you've invested there, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're getting your bang for your buck, now that's a totally different argument altogether.
Yeah, and we'll find out, you know, because he's right. We haven't seen any indications that any of the three rookie draft picks are capable of, as he put it, turning anybody over up front. But we have seen Josh Klein get a lot of opportunities to do that. We've seen Jordan Devey all of a sudden get a lot of opportunities to do that. And maybe even Marcus Cannon, who's been bouncing around different spots on the line. Yesterday he was at left tackle for a little bit in place of Solder. So I agree. The offensive line is an area of slight concern to me with that offense, especially if you have any kind of trepidation with the receiving core, and you might need a little extra time because these guys aren't always exactly where that Brady needs them to be. That's something to keep an eye on.
Somebody, is my mic on? Somebody who calls himself Sweat Equity says it's not Mallett, it's the O-line and stupid penalties. No discipline on the front lines. Mallett passed well on most occasions when given the time.
Right to LaFell's feet.
He was 5 of 12.
Yeah.
I mean, he was 5 for 12.
Yeah.
How can you pass that off? I mean, I don't think that he was quite as bad as it looked. I think there was some plays that he was – I'll give him one. The very first drive of the game, they ran the ball twice. It was like 3rd and 7, and I thought he made a terrific play, stepping up in the pocket, bought an extra time, and threw a dart to, I think, LaFell for a first down. It got called back for holding. That was a good play by Mallett that goes completely unrewarded, and who knows? Maybe that gets him going. It's the first drive. All of a sudden, here we go, third down. You move the chains, you know. Andy's making a face because he hates Ryan Mallett. But
no, I don't hate Ryan Mallett. I like him a lot. But you know, one play goes south, and now
we say that was responsible for the whole half. But I also said he didn't throw the ball well.
Guess what? If he needs that single play to get him going, then he's not that good.
He didn't throw the ball well in the game. He made a couple of good throws, but he did not throw the ball well in the game overall.
Chester's in Portland.
He didn't pop.
Hey, Chester.
He didn't pop.
Oh, my God, man. Everybody needs to pump their freaking brakes on this panic. I mean, this guy is not falling here. This is week one of the preseason, and God knows every year there's rust to knock off, you know. To me, last Thursday night, it was mostly a series of disappointments to me. You know, my short list, 4 people long, leading the way with Logan Ryan. Oh, my God. I mean, just really disappointed me. There was a quick point made on, you know, how so many of these guys are not going to be in viable roles. Logan Ryan's one of those guys I'm counting on to step up, and he did nothing but step down. Awful. Nate Solder, I mean, got handled by Arakpo. Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands there's a relationship they had in college, too. I mean, you know, Arakpo being a University of Texas guy, Solder being a Colorado guy, they're both Big 12 players, so there's some familiarity there. I think everyone should throw some caution out there. Andy, you made a point, you know, over the weekend, or rather Thursday night, that Arakpo is not an elite talent. I agree with that. So I'm mildly concerned on that end. Number three, Ryan Mallett. God, this guy's the second coming of Mark Wilson to me. I mean, he's a guy so stiff. You're right. He had a couple of good passes there. But I'd say Stell, too. I think he's beneficial to being a backup on the practice field and some other things. But I just don't want to see him out there in uniform much longer. And number four on my list is Paul Perillo in that post-game show. You know, Paul, I got to call you to the carpet here. I mean, apparently the post-game callers are better than your boys here on the PFW show.
They were.
After one funny call, you make the comment of saying, man, these callers on the post-game show are great.
They bring it.
Kev chimes in, says different caliber of callers. Listen, you want me to start getting drunk at 9 a.m. Pacific? Feel free. I don't need any drinking.
I don't want to promote that. The last time the Patriots organization did that, we got in a little bit of trouble. I don't need you to be drinking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's apples and oranges when you get a bunch of inebriated callers calling in. You got some real
I didn't really see it that way. I just saw good callers.
I told you immediately you were in trouble for that comment. I called you on it.
And I'm not backing away from it. They were better.
I ain't the only one, Paul. I think I'm just scratching the surface, so it may be a long show for you today. But
you guys got to step up your game. That's all.
Why do you always have to take it to a dirty place?
They hate their co-host.
Thanks, Chester. let's go to Marcus in D.C. Hey, Marcus.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Hey, fellas, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I was out at practice on last Tuesday. I was looking for you guys, but I think you all were filming the show by the time I got there. But it was a good practice, and I enjoyed it. And I had a couple of things that I saw that I just wanted to bring to the table and kind of get an idea of what you felt about it. But I kind of heard, I think, in the pregame social what you kind of thought. But for me, I thought Brady looked great. Ben Huser kind of stepped up. I didn't know who that guy was. I had to go to the lineup online to see who he was, but he looked pretty good out there.
Scrappy.
Yeah, he's very, very scrappy. And then, you know, one thing that you all said that Tavon Wilson really does look the part of a safety. He just looks good out there. I just wish he would play when he looked.
Yep. No question. Looks like Tarzan, plays like not Tarzan.
Yeah. You know what was funny to me is I was also at the game, and one thing that I wrote down at practice was I was like, man, Jimmy Garoppolo is just not ready for prime time. But then he steps under the lights and lights it up. And I was like, okay, well, let me scratch that out.
Well, and that's the thing. Everybody keeps saying, you know, it's not fair. You know, he was going against threes and this. That's what he was doing in practice when he sucked.
Yeah, no, he was terrible.
I just think the coverage was not as good as it has been in practice. That's all.
I mean, and that's fine, but he's facing basically the same guys.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there was no elevation or decline in talent. There, it was threes versus. I really thanked them for announcing definitively in Washington, ones, twos, threes. Like, they made it very clear what we were watching.
Yeah,
threes versus threes, Patriots offense, and then threes versus. And he first, what was first throw, Paul? In stride, touchdown, pick six.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, two more things, and I'll let you guys go. One, I was standing maybe 5 feet from Browner most of the day because he was on the right hand side and I was on the 20 on the.
So he was over by you, Andy.
Yeah, I was, and he does grab a whole lot, and I was like, wow, he kept grabbing DeSean Jackson most of the time.
He was over there,
and he still got beat on two plays.
Yep.
And I was just like, okay, we're going to see about him.
He's the only one I would hold out some concern with in terms of the rules. I think everybody else will conform. I think that's just the way he plays.
It's also a bad matchup for him. Anytime he's going to face somebody like DeSean Jackson or Wes Welker or Julian Edelman, anybody who's going to be quick off the line,
well,
if he faces him,
why these guys catch all those balls?
If he
they're
faces
hard to
Joe
Jurevicius,
no, but also that's not his. He's a bigger, longer.
I know. I understand.
If he faces Joe Jurevicius or one of those kinds of guys, he'll match up well.
All right.
A 6'4" guy, Marcus, who can't
he's
move.
Such Thank a douche. Well, now I know why the fans hate you, because you really are a DB.
All right, 1 o'clock.
We've been going strong.
We still got calls coming in, emails, obviously. Want to get to those as well. We'll be right back after this.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
We all know that Paul Perillo is an award-winning journalist, but did you know he's also an excellent babysitter?
Guys, knock it off.
Paul excels in communication.
I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a terrible mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Really?
Teaching.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know, I'll kick your A, or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening. Wow, violent.
And discipline.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Will gets arrested when he's 16, if they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now. But there won't be a spanking on the ass either.
In need of a sitter this weekend? Call Paul at 855-PATS-500 or email your babysitting request to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Fred, Andy, Eric, and Papa Perillo.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And Alex from Philly writes in, since only one preseason game has been played, I don't want to overreact to anything, but since I'm a sports fan, I'm going to anyway. Mallett was terrible. He is clearly a more valuable trade commodity if he doesn't play. Garoppolo is clearly a gamer. He should start the rest of the preseason. My question is about the pass rush. Unless we expect Revis in the improved secondary to buy the pass rush an extra hour,
Fred,
to get to the QB, I don't see where the pressure is going to come from. The pass rush still looks like Chandler Jones and Ninkovich, and that does not move the needle for me. What do you guys think? How do you know from that game? The pass rush was not out there. Not only was Jones and Ninkovich out there, I think Wilford played one play, or if he was out there at all.
First series.
Yeah, and Tommy Kelly, you know, they you didn't see all of them together.
There's nothing to be...
Well, the linebackers weren't out there.
There's nothing to be evaluated based off of the Washington game. They just didn't play.
Right. I mean,
it's unfair to say that, even in practice, you don't know what kind of pressure they're really getting because you don't know how live it is. You know, they're not getting to the quarterback, and you can bet that those guys, especially veteran guys like Vince and Chandler Jones, you know, guys that have been around a little bit, if they have the edge, they're stopping well before they get near Brady, believe
me. Right.
Speaking of Chandler Jones, did you hear that little thing with his brother and the the fighter? They were waiting to go on a live shot, and their mics were open, and they were just yelling, and I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
They knocked over the backdrop of the thing. Did you see that?
No. That was like the real thing. This is behind the scenes. This is before they go on
happened?
Air. And like the one guy, I don't know the other guy's name, but he's telling him like, I can't believe how phony you are. It's amazing. You have great staff, great PR people, because you're the biggest fraud to Chandler Jones's brother, Bones Jones. And at one point, because you're just a piece of bleep and you're the worst human being. And at one point he gets enough and he's like, I will kill you. And you couldn't beat me if you wanted to. And this is the underdog or whatever. No, I'm not talking about beating you. I am talking about killing you. And I'm thinking, what if you accidentally choke him out and kill him in the ring now? Now it's premeditated murder.
Joe in Michigan writes, and Boyce has to...
Because you're probably wanted for murder.
Joe in Michigan says, Boyce has to be on the bubble, and I think Timms is showing up. That offsides penalty on Boyce can't be happening. Anyway, what do you make of Timms learning from Randy Moss? He seems to have the confidence and swagger needed to be successful. He looked pretty good with Jimmy G throwing to him. Now, how has he looked with Brady throwing to him? Thanks for the great work.
Haven't had a ton of that.
Brady throwing at Timms?
In fact, he talked about it when I interviewed him, and then it turned into a gangbang the other day. That day he was in the huddle with Brady, and he kind of was like in awe and like staring across like, I'm in the huddle with Tom Brady.
Yeah, he had a few opportunities yesterday, but not a lot. We haven't seen that a lot.
And it wasn't a real all-out practice.
Oh, they had no pads. So they had just the shells.
He's been good. He's made some plays. But I do want to – one other aspect of this is I believe he's 25. 26? 25?
I don't know.
He's a little older because he has been around a little bit, took a non – well, I guess not non-traditional, but, you know, junior college, right. College, bounced around the NFL now a couple years. One thing that is also jumping out at me a little bit, I believe Mike Lombardi brought him to Cleveland, and now Patriots bring him here under Lombardi's watch. I don't know if Lombardi is a big fan of his.
Yeah.
He's a great story. I was very impressed with the way he spoke and talked about his past.
He's flashed a little. He's worth keeping an eye on.
I would like him better if he were 22.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, he's a little older. So now if you say, okay, it's going to take a year or two to do, well, now he's 28 if he develops, or that might hinder him a little.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chris with a T-I-A-N is on the phone. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. You know, certainly some good progress with Garoppolo Thursday night. My whole feeling on the backup position is, you know, basically I think it was Justin that called in, alluded to about sort of tying up a roster spot. And, you know, other than 08 when Brady, you know, his knee got blown out and, like, the second half of the AFC Championship game in 01, you know, Brady hasn't missed a snap, right?
Right. I mean, those are his two injuries. Yeah. He's never missed, like, a single game or a two-stretch series.
Yeah. I thought you made a good point on that yesterday, Andy, on the radio.
I did.
Knocking down, who was it, Volan?
Probably.
Yeah.
I did a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you buried him yesterday with the whole Justin Jones roster thing, man. Wow, you killed him.
Yeah, so much so that I started to feel bad.
But you know
me
what?
Too.
And enough of this. People should not be allowed to get away with it. You know? They come on as experts and you know,
but we all make mistakes on stuff like that.
If you're going to do a roster,
they shouldn't be able to say it unchallenged. Let's just put it
correct.
That way.
And there's a difference between saying that a guy's going to make the roster as a sleeper and saying, like, this guy won't make it through waivers. You can't put him on the practice squad. He's just this great potential talent project. He was all in on Justin Jones. He loved him some Justin Jones.
Yeah.
And in regards to the tight end position, I mean, you want to talk about a position that, you know, after Gronk is like, I mean, at an alarming, just like, you know, oh, my God. Like, they cut three guys and brought three guys in.
I know.
You know, I mean, just talking about completely wiping out a hole, just and then just cleaning the slate. And the guys they brought in, just, you know, they went from, you know, rookie Jags to veteran Jags, I think.
So I keep thinking, like, well, they know they got Keller, and they're just having open auditions.
Fred. The Keller thing is dead. I don't even think Keller's still alive.
It is. I mean, the one thing it did validate is I think everybody said, well, aside from Ben Volan, that they're none of these guys are going to make it. They have Gronk, they have Hooman if he's healthy, and no one else is going to make it. And that kind of got validated when they got rid of everybody else and said, maybe we'll see if we can find.
And I think there's a chance that you could see like a guy like Hartsock. But see, that's why, like, Christian, Chester, this is the kind of call you're looking for. Right here.
Yeah, hey, you're Lewis and Paul, you know.
Christian brings it. He doesn't just, you know, tell you everything is great. He tells you what's great. He tells you what's not so great and stuff in between.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not so great. I can wave Patriot palm pause with the best of them, but when, you know, when a position looks like it's sucking, you know, tight end sucking right now. So, you know, I mean, Paul, you know, and Andy, you're certainly welcome additions on the post-game show. I don't necessarily share your views about the callers, you know, per se, in relation to the PFW callers.
Well,
but
that's Paul's view. That's not Andy's view.
Wait, we do realize they're the same people, right?
Yeah, they're just inebriated like Justin said.
Right, exactly. Jeez.
All right. Thanks, Christian. Let's go to Jason in Florida. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's the guy doing, man?
Good.
What's up, Jason?
Okay, looking at the offense from last year, there was a lot of questions at the receiver position. After watching these guys in training camp, do you guys think that LaFell will upgrade the position? And do you think Boyce and Tompkins can step up if they become more consistent to help the offense?
My prediction there is yes on LaFell. I think he's going to make it a little better. And I don't know on the second part. I don't have a lot of confidence in right now Boyce, Tompkins, and Dobson.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of confidence in any of them. LaFell, I think, has come on and looked pretty good over the last week in Washington and then preseason.
Yeah, I'm more confident about still the LaFell question.
He still has drops. A team in Carolina that had no receivers decided they didn't want to keep a cheap veteran receiver who had 50 catches. That, you know, I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, but they had nothing and they decided he was not worthy of retaining. I have my doubts. I think he will frustrate Brady at some point with some key drops and where that goes.
I think he'll be okay, but I'm not confident in the other part of that equation with the other guys.
I actually said upstairs, if you look at it, there is a chance that the total redo at the receiver position last year goes down as one of the worst off seasons, redos, whatever, in history. If Amendola has a down year and gets cut, and then all these rookies are going the way they're going, which is down and not up, you did nothing. You advanced nothing. You wasted a couple of years of the window with Brady.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, is it too late to sign somebody that might help us this year?
Such as? Fred's got Dustin Keller in the bag, so.
But, you know, specifically at the wide receiver position, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I think the guys you're signing now are Brian Timms and Cole Stanford. That was
or
signed,
Austin Colley.
You know, in the middle of camp.
Roster.
I mean, I don't think you're going to sign a guy now who's going to be a regular receiver. But, you know, I didn't know Jabbar Gaffney was going to sign in 06 and become a regular receiver for that team. So there's always that possibility, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good
All
point.
Right, Jason, thanks for the call. Let's go to Belarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Belarco.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Polo.
I wanted to talk about the running back, but before I say anything, I just want to say that if Paul thinks that drunk, incoherent, babbling morons on a post-game show make for a great caller, I don't know what to say.
That says a lot about Paul, doesn't it?
A lot of passion. They bring passion. That's all I can tell you.
Coming back to the running back, I was very disappointed with our rushing attack, and I expected a lot from the big running back, but Steven Houston got cut, and Jonas Gray, like, he had like 12 yards in 9 carries against a bunch of second and third stringers. Like, come on, that was pathetic.
I agree. Now, you could argue some of that's the offensive line, certainly, but those two have done nothing to, well, Houston I was looking for. He was my Justin Jones. I thought he was a big back that intrigued me, like this theory he'll replace Blount, and he never did anything except fumble. And I haven't seen Jonas Gray really do much other than flex his big arms.
No, both of those guys have been pretty quiet. Now, from the start, Gray has been ahead of Houston
in
terms of reps. Gray gets them, you know, toward the end of practice. It's Gray and then Houston, and it was like that.
And nobody gets 1.3 yards like Jonas Gray.
And up until the time that they decide to let Houston go with the other two tight ends there, Jones and Watson.
But, I don't really see him making the team. You know, that whole theory, the big backup, anything. No.
It's looking like four running backs and Devlin, whatever you want to call Devlin, right?
Maybe.
Maybe three.
I think three and Devlin's a chance.
I'm just really scared of, Steven Ridley being our number one guy. Now, I know that he has had 1,000-yard season, and he can do that, but I'm still pretty scared.
But he's going to be the number one guy.
He is going to be the number one guy. He is going to fumble, and we're going to have to see what happens when that occurs. I feel pretty confident. I'm not trying to, kick dirt on him. He's going to fumble.
You know, might he not have an option this year? Like, last year he could sit him out that game and say, Blount's going to be the guy. I don't know if I feel comfortable with James White and Shane Vereen being the guy.
We'll find out, because I think it's going to happen.
All right, thanks, Belarco.
Bolden, I guess, could be the guy. They seem to like Bolden. Well, they seem to like Bolden. I don't get the infatuation with Brandon Bolden. But he would not be on my team. He just seems unreliable. He's had like two good.
You would keep three
right now. Right now, I kind of agree with No Socks. Yeah. I think there's a search on, much like there's a search on for a tight end. I think you're keeping your eye on the waiver wire for a veteran running back.
Well, that's the thing. If you go with three right now, you're going to need someone eventually.
Right, and you'll find someone like you did every year with. Yeah.
Oh, I have no doubt about
Robbie
that.
Robbie Abdullah. No, he was. Was he one of them? Was he a running back? Mike Cloud and Heath
Danny
Evans
Woodhead.
And Danny Woodhead and all these guys.
You find guys.
Running backs are like guards. You can always find one.
Thank you. Let's coming around to my way.
Let's go to Nolan, Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great.
Hey, Fred, what's a good place to go like we did with Katie Mullins the night they played Denver on November 2nd?
You mean around here?
Yeah, around Boston.
Oh, God. Well, where are you staying?
I'm staying outside of Worcester.
Outside of Worcester?
Oh. Yeah.
Call Brian Lowe.
I can't help you. Call B. Lowe.
I don't know from that area. that's no, that's west.
Saying,
Yeah.
I want to go to Boston.
Oh, I mean, really, go around TD Garden, and there's tons of sports bars around there. The Fours is a historic kind of sports bar.
I got diarrhea last time I ate there.
You know, there's all kinds of memorabilia up on the walls.
Jerry Remy's would be an option. That's a sports bar. Game On is a sports
bar. There's a lot of places
around
the Garden.
Flagon. Go over there, Fenway.
Places around Fenway Park, but they're kind of more gin mills there. But, you know, there's some nicer places around.
Plus, I don't think you'd probably rather be closer to what you're talking about than Fenway.
Yeah.
Because Fenway at that time of year is dead.
Right.
Kenmore's
not.
If you've never been
to Boston, go to Faneuil Hall. There's tons of places there.
I've been to Boston many times. I'm just curious. Oh, okay. If you had a suggestion, maybe. That's all.
I like Jerry Remy's. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a Jerry Remy's fan for a sports bar with TVs. I think they have a decent menu. I like Jerry Remy's.
Yep. My wife's birthday is on November 3rd. Can you get me tickets for November 2nd? You know, they've already won the Super Bowl here in Denver. Matter of fact, they got their revenge against Seattle Seahawks on the opening preseason.
Oh, I knew that was going to happen.
They showed them.
Right.
Oh, boy.
They didn't really bill it as that, did they?
I just can't.
That would be pathetic. That would be so pathetic.
You know, you watch the new guys coming in, and that's what it's all about. And the chemistry has to exist. Nobody really has the great chemistry on the field until the start of the season. But I got a couple of questions for you, if you don't mind. Who do you see other than Hooman at tight end? And is there still a possibility we might be able to pick up Andre Johnson at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
And other than Hooman, I mean, Paul's right, probably Hartsock as a blocker if they feel they need that, although they've done a ton with Devlin and Vollmer.
Yeah, I'm not saying Hartsock is a lock.
And all of those guys. I won't be stunned if they leave camp with two tight ends. And then pick up somebody off waivers or who knows what at some point.
And to me, it's about Hooman. I don't know about Hooman's health. That's why I think Hartsock is going to make it. I don't know what Hooman's health situation is.
It's not good right now.
It's been out for a long time now. Talking about 10 days.
Why are we talking about
it? Seems like a long time.
You've watched practices, right?
Yes.
Yes.
After watching those practices, do you really feel we've improved on defense? And do you think Dominic Easley is going to be ready to work, to go?
Yes on one, and I have no idea on the other because I haven't seen Easley practice. But I would say, I think they're improved on defense based on what I've seen.
Thank you so much, guys. Love your show and listen to you often.
All right. Thanks, Noel.
That was quite a courteous close.
He's a nice guy. I met him out in Denver. Real nice guy.
Not necessarily Fred's opinion because I'm sure that we think they're vastly improved. But Andy, do you think they're better on defense?
Yeah, in theory.
But I'm talking about what you've seen. I'm not talking about what we're going to see in September.
I don't know.
I'm talking about what you've seen.
Because I'm assuming Revis isn't going to stop most plays at three-quarter speed.
The level that I've seen on the practice field seems better than it has been on the I'm trying to compare practice field to practice field, like last year in camp and the year before in camp to now. I feel like they're playing better. They've had more days where the ball there's been all kinds of incomplete passes.
And I have to admit, Tlaib was good last year, but
Tlaib was excellent last year.
But in practice, he didn't look like Revis.
No, well, different player.
Yeah,
he's longer, taller. I think
there were those receivers that he couldn't cover. You know, like Browner. Huh? You know, wideouts.
Oh, so funny! Because all wideouts are the same, Fred. You know, none are small and quick.
I
none
know
are big
what you
and
mean.
Fast.
Shut
They're
up.
All the same.
Chris in Hamilton, Ontario, just wondering what your favorite hashtag facepalm moment was by Ryan Mallett on Thursday. I'm willing to accept that it was the second team offense versus the first team Washington defense.
It wasn't.
But I really expected at least a couple of field goals. What the hell was up with the offensive line sucking so bad? Is the coaching of one guy that meaningful?
Wait a minute. I love Dante more than anybody, but the offensive line struggled last year. Like, we can't just gloss over it because we like Dante and he had a great 30-year career.
Most sacks since 01, right?
Right. I mean, don't just gloss over the fact that they weren't great last year, and I don't know why, and he admitted it. Remember midseason or whenever that was when we do the little assistant, and you know, there's no running from it. We got to be better. We're not good enough right now.
Chris says, does coaches' wages factor into the salary cap? If not, can we give Skarnecki a couple million to come back and teach another coach how to do it right? Wow, that's really unfair.
Well, first of all, it doesn't count against the cap. Second of all, I'm not sold that that's not occurring as we speak. Dante was a consultant for much of the offseason on some level, and I don't know that he's not doing that now with Googe.
Mike Mayock should really stick with draft boards. They are a little more forgiving when it comes to when he compliments someone and they fail epically.
When they have the top 9 of his top 5.
Right.
So he goes out on a limb and says, Ryan Mallett. I don't say five for five, but he's the best. You know, he's a starting quarterback. Hey, you win some, you lose.
For me, the facepalm moment would have been that the throw, I think, on the first play of the second series that went straight into the ground.
Yeah.
NFL.
Yeah, that was.
He's standing there in a spot. He had the, you know.
As Paul said, yeah. That is like 101 for this offense.
This offense has to have that pass be completed.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell
predicated
cut
on.
Because he couldn't make those throws.
Exactly. And that's what we talked about. Unfortunately, we never got to do that on the air.
Yeah, this is all the good stuff that happens on those Bob's Discount Furniture chairs when they don't go to us. We got all this stuff going on. Logan Ryan, we were shredding him.
Well,
we never
I
got
mean,
to that.
Look, if I were to be honest and I had my way, it would be you. The two of you and a play-by-play guy, and that's it.
I've heard other people say that.
That's it.
I'm being serious.
I heard one other person say it on the radio. I understand the
value of having the ex-player and all that stuff, but I'm sorry. This is preseason. We need guys with in-depth knowledge of the team, and you guys have it. I would have you.
Thanks.
I would have a play-by-play guy and you two. You know, that's the way I would do the preseason.
No, who had the idea? Somebody told me their idea would be just use the Sports Hub play-by-play and then basically have us do everything else. Like, we kind of have carte blanche over everything else.
Well, that's basically what I said, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, I don't I kind of fall into the – I'm all in on this format. I really think that what we're trying to do is the right thing to do. And – I know that it annoys some more traditional types, which
Mark Farinella.
Which I would consider myself one of those. But in this particular case, this outcome of these games is so meaningless to me. I don't care if it's 2nd and 8 or 2nd and 7. I don't care, you know, 3rd quarter, 1st quarter. It's all irrelevant. All I want to see is the personnel groupings and what it might mean in terms of the roster breakdown.
Yeah,
I think that's what Andy and I are watching practice for. We're trying to figure out who plays with who, what time of the game they're playing with those guys. Last year, I thought we made some really relevant observations in terms of Adrian Wilson playing well into the 4th quarter of a preseason game, and that wasn't a good sign for a veteran.
I think that down and distance is still important because if a guy does well, I want to know what context he did it. You know, so what was the framework?
But that's up on the screen.
No,
I don't need a play-by-play guy to say.
True.
Pick up a 7, 2nd and 3. Yep. I don't need that. So, it's right there on the screen for me.
But I think you could do. I would have the three of you in a booth, 3-man booth, and okay, we'll put a former player on the sideline as you know, once in a while, tell me what's going on the sideline. But specifically, what's going on the sideline? I don't need packaged things. I may not go to you in the first half if there's nothing going on the sideline. But you know, you can use an ex-player for that.
Have we been on NFL Network?
No, the game was Washington's broadcast.
Oh, they do the home broadcast,
yeah,
right?
So we'll have to see next week.
Going national, baby!
But that's what I would do. I really have enough, that much confidence, you guys, that I think it would really be valuable to the fans to have you up there.
I think we are close. I continue to say we just need a faster way to chime in to get our crap on
too.
The air.
Yeah, and I think we're worried. You know. Credibility wise, not that you guys, you know,
have credibility.
People don't know, but you know, when you have the ex player, it kind of gives it more cachet.
It doesn't have. I mean, I really enjoyed being part of this, and I like it, but it doesn't have to. I just think the format is right. I think they're on the right track, and I agree with Andy. I think we're getting better. We're close. We haven't quite put it all together yet. I think hopefully by the end of this preseason, we have it all.
Just one thing, Paul. Can you look at the camera?
You see what he has to do?
I know.
Did I say anything to him about his, like,
illegal
touching?
I called it, instead of illegal contact.
Like, all of a sudden he had a seizure in the middle of one of his hits. I didn't say anything.
It's because you were still fuming over your hit.
I was so mad.
T-Earth writes, and for fun, I was watching the 2012 Colts game and then listened to your podcast afterwards and found some funny moments. Okay. First was a discussion after the Gronk injury.
Colts game?
With Andy saying, if the Patriots bring Gronk back too early, it'll be hard to notice the left forearm injury. A few weeks later, Gronk was literally using one arm against Miami. Then all of you said unanimously that the offense would be just fine without him, in contrast to what we say now, which is start jumping off the bridge if he gets hurt. Andy had the hindsight quote of the show saying, if the Patriots lose Gronkowski, the offense will be fine. Now, if they lose Hernandez, Gronk, and Welker, they'll be screwed. Not realizing he just described the 2013 Patriots offense.
I find it hard to believe I said they would just be just
I
fine.
I find it stunning that you would say that, to be honest with you.
Me too.
As much as I'd like to make fun of you.
Sure, it was me.
I probably said it.
Probably. I'm guessing it was you. They'll be fine. That's what you said.
I could see me saying it because I always give it. You know, someone will catch the pass. Right. I could see me being dismissive of something.
I've been
like
all
that.
In on Gronk for
I can't
the bulk
see you
of
doing
the era.
It, though. Because I never imagined the offense would be as bad as it was last year, heading into last year. Now, I still think they scored enough points
to win. Well, you
know,
Tim Hasselbeck says that they're a different offense with Gronk.
Yeah, yeah. I did hear that.
They played that yesterday. I go, why didn't we local guys think of that? That's why he makes the big bucks. That's why he's national.
I still think that they scored enough points, more or less, in most of those games. But I was surprised that they had as many periods like the Jets game here that they won 13-10. Or the Cincinnati
Bengals.
Game that they did nothing in. I didn't anticipate it being that bad without Gronk.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Trey is in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Bien.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What's up?
I want to give a shout-out, man, up to the greatest radio show in the whole land, man, of PFW. Man, you guys are still awesome.
Well, thank you.
Anyone ever told
Trey,
you?
I remember when you called the postgame show last week, too. This is the kind of caller I was talking about.
He also sounds exactly like Matthew Slater.
Yeah, a little bit.
Can you say that God has played a big part in my career?
He's had his hands all over my career.
Hey, all right, guys. Have you guys heard from LG, man? That's just my first question. I'm pretty sure he was jumping for joy. We had a big guy outside at wide receiver that we was throwing to, so I guess he... Have you guys heard from him?
Yeah,
he called.
He wants Quentin Sims back.
He likes Quentin Sims better than Tims.
I knew it.
Sims, not Tims.
He's never happy. Eldridge is never happy.
Oh, man. Well, I kind of figured he was probably going to be on the first caller, man. So, well, I want to say, I guess the trade bait, Ryan Mallett is not going to be trade bait after all.
No, he fell off the hook.
I'm going to kind of say the last few years he's not been playing a whole lot of football. So, I mean, he's been playing this preseason, right?
Yep.
So, and I think that Garoppolo, even though he hasn't been playing in the NFL the past 3 years, he's been playing a lot of, you know, football as far as, you know, game situations. So, and I think that's why he was so cool and laid back. But I'm not crowning him, you know, the next Tom Brady, but – I mean, you know, I feel like that's why he looked a whole lot better than Ryan Mallett. I mean, because he has been playing more football, even though, you know, they was on the college level and a lower competition. I mean, but I still think that's why, you know, he was able to look a lot better than Mallett. I mean, what you guys think?
It's a valid theory. You know, he's more closer to having played a full game as a quarterback.
Why doesn't that help him in practice? I've heard this one a lot the last couple of days.
Yeah. Common theory.
Why doesn't it show up in the practice field?
It could be just the way his makeup. He's one of those game time type of guys. You know, I don't know.
It's irrelevant.
Who knows?
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
Paul Perillo has spoken. Irrelevant. Move on.
Well, speaking of,
the answer I was looking for was because it doesn't matter.
Cookie is very upset with Paul.
That's okay.
He says post-game callers are not better. They were making brief comments and not going deep.
Exactly. That makes them better.
Making one-liners after a game is not hard. The daytime web callers go deeper in strategy and positions. Post-game peeps wouldn't know who Norris Davis is, a future Pro Bowler special teamer. Take it back, says Cookie.
Listen,
we have to alienate either side? I would like to embrace both
and say, listen
post-game, listen during the week. And if you listen during the week, listen post-game. I like everybody.
I hate everybody. I think I'm pretty much out in the open on that. But all I'm telling you is, I'm not saying that post-game callers in general are better than our callers.
That's what you said.
Our post-game callers last Thursday night were better than our callers regularly during the week. That's all I said. That's it. I didn't say in general post-game callers are better. That was the only post-game show I was really involved in.
What you should have just said
really
is,
good.
Wow, these are great callers, and end it. Why did you have to disparage the daytime callers?
Because that wouldn't have elicited this. No, they were. Who was that woman that called in that was all fired up? She wasn't drunk.
Judy Garland.
I do remember a woman who called in.
She was really good. She made some really good points.
She had a funny mallet line, didn't she?
Yeah, but it wasn't just about like being funny. I thought they were making good points, and I agree with Cookie. I know it's like running counter to that point, but they were quick. They were in and they were out.
Right. And you had a lot probably lined up. Everybody
wanted
to get.
We didn't have to read from the card.
Yeah. Everybody wanted to get their two cents in after the game. So you have to kind of file through them real quick.
Paul taking shots at Chester now.
PFW Elite's going to be on your ass.
When aren't they?
Let's go back down to Florida. Dylan's there. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Loud and clear.
I was waiting for Paul. You suck.
Just had a couple of things I want to say.
Okay. So say them.
I just want to know who you guys think could really be on the roster bubble. I know we've already said before on both sides. Special teams on the D, on the O, and shout out to Balacro and everybody on the PFW Elite group on Facebook. And Andy, you're my favorite.
Thanks.
Okay.
And screw Paul.
Thanks, Dylan. Who was on the roster bubble? And obviously, he's probably talking about guys who've been on the team.
Well, I did my roster yesterday, which was invalid a couple hours later when they brought the guys off PUP and NFI. But I think, who do we have yesterday we added, Paul? Zach Moore, I think, is an interesting guy, is a late-round pick and on the bubble. I think at linebacker, Bo Harness versus Fleming might be an interesting case.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think the rookie offensive linemen are interesting.
Do you think all three of them are in?
I think they're going to be here.
I haven't
somehow
seen a roster projection that has not included all three of those.
I think
guys.
They're going to be here somehow. I find it hard to believe they're all going to be on the roster. I don't know how it's going to play out, whether Stork goes on IR or
just blatantly putting guys on IR.
I mean, well, Stork has an injury.
Well, there is the practice squad.
Cliff Kingsbury spent a year on IR when he was not hurt at all.
That's true.
You normally have at least what, two guys offensive line on your practice
squad?
Yeah,
but I don't think the draft picks will go there.
No,
I don't either. I think Stork's going to go on IR. I think they're going to keep Jalapio and Fleming, and I think they're probably going to keep Wendell and Conley, even though we kind of talked about maybe one of those guys is out. I don't think they'll both be starting. That's where I think there's a difference. Boyce is a guy that could be in trouble. Tavon Wilson could be in trouble.
And Boyce wouldn't necessarily be competing because I think the other guys are locks. I think Tompkins up is probably a rock. Tompkins, LaFell, Amendola, Edelman, and Dobson are locks.
Yes.
So it's not Boyce and Tompkins fighting for the last spot. It's probably Boyce fighting with
Trevor Hawkins.
Or a tight end, you know.
But I was thinking Hawkins, off. Like a kick returner. If Hawkins says, I'm a kick returner and I'm gonna make his core special teamer, you're out. Who else? Any other interesting?
I liked your Fleming-Boharness one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Fleming has been interesting. Now, the one thing I will say is they're kind of – Fleming has seemingly been just an outside kind of linebacker, and Boharness has seemed strictly an inside middle linebacker. So they're not neck and neck competing, but I don't know that they both can be here.
And I wonder about special teams because Boharness really didn't get an opportunity to do much last year.
Right.
You know? So it's not like they loved his ability to play on special teams. He didn't really do it. He was only active for two games.
Oh, Will Smith, I didn't even have on my roster. I think he is on the roster bubble.
Is it Will Smith and Zach Moore? Or is it just...
Ish.
Because I don't think Will Smith is here either.
I think Will Smith and Josh Beckett are out. Jake Beckett are out. And I think Buchanan has looked okay, kind of taking those Chandler Jones linebacker / defensive end reps as they do whatever they're doing with the 3-4 here. That would probably be the bulk of the guys. You know, there'll be some special teams. Some guy's going to make it that we didn't really think make it because they love him in the kicking game. Bill answered it yesterday when I asked him about safeties. You know, we got a lot of competition there, and not just on defense, but in the kicking game. Bill, I'm not asking about kicking game. You think about the kicking game more than anybody else thinks about the kicking game. Yeah. And yet we still stink on special teams sometimes.
Here's where you plug in, you know.
I didn't actually say this.
That's why we win championships.
A decade.
Even
ago.
Though it's not why,
hey.
but that's what people say.
And we haven't won a championship in a decade.
Oh, I don't care about that. They're always. Well, I do care about it, obviously. But they're always involved. They're obviously the way he puts together his team every year, what I like to call the program, gets under your skin.
Oh, right.
Obviously works, but I don't think it works because of that.
No, the lack that's of a, you're right. You know, a lack of playmakers on offense and defense works because he's focused on the kicking game. Or maybe he has a lack of playmakers on offense and defense because he's too focused on the kicking game.
He twists and turns every little thing you say.
Four down players. Let's have guys who make plays on the first three downs. Got enough Matt Chathams in the world.
The way he puts together his roster obviously works.
Does it?
But I don't think that his reliance on the kicking game is why it works.
No, he's got Tom freaking Brady.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really gotten kind of easy, and I know it's cliche, and Eric wrote the whole column. Gronk, Brady, and Revis. We see it on that stupid drill out there.
Your season is right there. That's your season. If all three of those guys are healthy on the field and playing at their high level, you are going to be a Super Bowl contender.
And by
it's
the
a
way,
lot.
I think, you know, we've been talking about, in case the listeners don't know what we're talking about, Gronk, Revis, and Brady have been kind of going off to the side and just working on routes and Revis right. covering while special teams. I think we figured out what's going on there. I think Belichick basically said Gronk just needs to catch some passes, as many as they can. He's got to catch them from Brady. And if there's one guy that I can afford to not have on that other field doing special, it's Revis. So
he doesn't need to be a four-down player.
He does, you know, so.
Except for he has been like him.
I know.
Second,
well,
second
but,
group.
So I think
but
it's
that kind of stopped
that.
And they started doing this.
I don't think there's anything secret, you know, or nefarious going on. I think that's simply
well, I
it.
I don't think it was anything secret or nefarious.
Well, we were thinking.
I thought it was interesting.
You know, what could they be doing, you know? But I think that's simply it. It's. You know, if there's one guy that doesn't need to be out there with the rest of them, it's Revis.
And Gronk is looking for somebody to go three-quarter speed. Revis has done that on every play in practice. So
he has to be snarky. He just has to be.
He can't help himself.
James from Thunder Bay. The only thing to take from a Jag-filled first preseason game is after 4 years of practicing, Mallett is not an NFL quarterback, and Jimmy has some potential. Actually, Jimmy seems to have a real nice touch with his passes and quick delivery and smooth feet. 3 to 4 years under Tom, and this kid might be pretty good. My big concern going forward is the O-line. Do you see any new players challenging for a spot on the line, or are we stuck with last year's mediocre performers? So there's someone who agrees with you, Andy, that last year wasn't that great either.
Yeah.
In terms of the O-line.
I don't see how you can look at it really much differently.
Klein is clearly competing right now.
Yeah, Klein's a guy that's showed up, yeah.
I mean, that was, what was it, Devy and Klein were the guards the other night. I wouldn't say Devy is as high or in that mix as much as Klein is. I think Klein is right on the cusp of being the next Dan Conley.
And Devy's certainly getting an opportunity now.
Yes.
Because yesterday, there was no Klein, it was Devy with that first group, with Conley and Vollmer and Mankins.
But do you think Devy's as high?
No.
Okay.
But I think he's getting his opportunity now.
Yeah, I think he's a tier below.
I think they know what Klein is. Not that they're saying he's a lock. I'm just saying they're seeing any of these other guys. Can they do what Klein does?
Like Maneri.
Alex is claiming that she's the girl from the post-game show.
Nice.
Hey, Alex.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Now, does she sound drunk to you?
I think my drinking for the regular season.
See?
Okay. I don't really like the preseason drink. It's kind of a waste of time. I like to save my drinking for the good games, but no, I definitely was not drunk.
And did you deliver a good line?
I didn't think you were drunk. I thought you were
Garoppolo to Tim's.
A poignant caller.
I said Garoppolo to Tim's doesn't have that same feel as Master Brady, but I'll take it.
You did, and that cracked
and
me
that
up.
Cracked
I enjoyed
you up.
It.
Yeah, it was good. Well, I actually have a question. We haven't talked too much about Amendola and how he's been doing in camp. I'm just curious because I'm going to be Edelman's Giselle and say he can't catch all the balls.
Yep.
You see?
I think Amendola's been fine.
I think and Ben Volen actually articulated this very well yesterday on the radio. I think everybody is just – Amendola was very good last year, and we all sung his praises. And then it didn't pan out in the regular season. He got hurt. He kind of did a Danny Amendola season. He's very good now. But we're not going to go crazy until we see him carry July and August into September, October, November, December. He's been very good, I think.
I agree.
My second question is this: more of the first stringers are going to be playing in the second game. What do you think we need to see from them in the time that they're playing to know that there's been improvements on both sides of the ball? Because I'm concerned. I agree with Andy. I'm concerned about the offense, and I'm concerned about their inability to protect against the run.
Yeah, I think. On defense, you're looking for third down production. You know, can they get off the field on third down? I mean, that's been their Achilles heel over the last few years. So that's where you're looking for. Now, whether that's because of a better pass rush or better coverage, I don't care. I just want to get off the field on third down.
Well, you're also looking for, you did pretty poorly against the run. Now, I know it'll be a totally different group, essentially. But this is a team that's going to run the football.
Yeah.
You have LeSean McCoy, who is the leading rusher from a year ago. Mm-hmm. You have these athletic fronts that Kelly likes to put out there. And if you're a step late, if you're Steve Beauharnais type, they're going to gash you for big plays. And so I think this new look 3-4 athletic linebacker group with Collins on the inside, you're looking to see how they play the run and how they meet up with an athletic, interesting offense.
Well, I just want you to know I listen to every single show. It's just hard for me to call in because I'm sitting at my desk at work. But
that's okay. More importantly, would you be willing to date Eric?
Wow, that's a bold statement.
Yeah, just say no. It's okay.
You can just say
every
no,
other girl has said no, so just say no.
Yeah, I'll be looking at you at the. I'll be looking for you guys at the Dolphins game.
Okay, all right, sounds
all right.
Good.
All right, thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Alex.
So maybe she didn't say no.
She did she not
like
say no. A nice person
so
who didn't want
to say
no.
Telling me there's a chance.
I'm not.
I'm going to say there's not.
Because she also sounded a little hot, so she has no interest in Eric.
She sounded. A little
I don't know
hot.
What that means.
You didn't think her voice sounded hot?
Well, she's talking low because she's at her cubicle.
Want to touch the hiney?
Let's see. Kevin writes in from Cologne, Germany. I don't know if I missed it, but I think you haven't mentioned Dobson and Easley activated from PUP NFI.
We did.
What's your take on it? Do you think they have a chance to make an impact week one, or at what point do you see them making an impact?
I have no idea. I have to see them do something between now and then.
Yeah, we haven't seen them do anything yet, but my guess is that they're going to be in the mix for week one.
Why would you do it?
Exactly. So I don't know exactly what they're going to be able to do. I think Easley, I've been thinking all along, it's a long time since he got hurt. So I think that he has a chance to be active in that rotation right from the get-go.
One thing, you know, maybe it's because of the history with Gronk, but one thing they have not been doing with any of these guys is rushing them back. They seem to have this very methodical, you know, procedure for getting a guy back on the field.
But, yes, but, you know, I think Wilfork was very quick. You know, I think he was probably ahead of what I may have envisioned.
Okay.
I mean, he's had no limitations at all since, like, the second day of off-season work. Remember, he was with that group, Paul, and then pretty much since then, he's been full go, full bore. He said it yesterday on EEI, no limitations. They have been pretty cautious with the rest, where it's come off the list, warm up, do some work, now maybe do some one-on-ones or something, you know, in kind of a very step-like process. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not going to say they've learned anything. I think they're doing what they think is right, like they probably have always done.
Mike and Lowell.
A lot of people are ripping the Dobson situation. Got a couple ass PFWs that said that, you know, remember they rested him and then that didn't work. So then they had to have surgery. And now here we are. He's just getting active halfway through camp. Do you have any, I don't know, questioning of the medical staff and did they bungle that? And
I have no idea.
I mean, I think that happens with certain injuries. They try rest. Rest doesn't work. They have to.
I don't think they bungled it at all, but I always, I never like the path of, Let's rest a little bit, because to me that feels like you put yourself behind the eight ball if it doesn't work. And I think I know they don't like to perform surgeries. That's why I don't think they bungled it. But I hate the, well, we'll let it rest, and then you get 2 months into the off season and you end up having to do the surgery anyway.
But
seems like that's the way it goes more often.
I don't think you want to be overly anxious to cut somebody.
No, that's exactly what the doctors. That's why I don't think they bungled it. They don't want to perform surgeries that they don't know for sure are necessary.
Right.
That's how the medical profession works.
Mike and Lowell, love having some actual football to hear you all talk about. I know that we're seeing the Pats line up in a 3-4 lot the past couple weeks, and that has kind of changed the role of Chandler Jones. Are you guys at all concerned about that switch in defensive scheme and specifically the impact it could have on Chandler's game?
I'm intrigued by what's going on there, the fact that Chandler is sort of a double backup at defensive end slash outside linebacker. I don't know if that's with an eye on less reps and fresher and how he'll fit in, but you could also argue that if he's playing that 5 technique in the 3-4, he's probably going to get beat up a little bit more than he would as a 4-3 end on the outside. I'm probably more curious about the Jamie Collins move to inside line. To me, it just seems it should be Hightower and Collins flip-flopped. Collins on the outside, Hightower inside. And I don't really know what to make of that.
I agree. That's a bigger concern for me. Just watching some of the stuff at practice, Zach Moore, who is one of those guys that's one of the backups for a Chandler Jones spot, he was about 25 yards downfield yesterday in coverage. I don't want Chandler Jones 25 yards downfield in coverage. On plays. I feel like that's not something that he's done.
They're already ripping Bill O'Brien for, because Clowney was doing it in the first preseason game.
Yeah. You know, listen, with what Houston's doing, I don't know, but I feel like the move to 4-3, I don't really care what they do. It's this desire to sort of be able to do anything, I think, leads you to a spot where you're not doing one thing as well as you might be able to.
Yeah, I'm Are we certain that they're going to stick with this 3-4
no,
thing?
God, absolutely
no.
Not.
No. Right?
They weren't in a 3-4 no. Predominant. I mean, like the entire game.
Yeah,
I don't think.
But
the other
they've
night.
Invested a good. But
they've been working
10 days in, of it here.
Yeah, right. Just the way the emailer just said, the last couple of weeks it's been mostly 3-4.
Yeah.
Now some of the stuff I might be confusing the game with what we saw in Richmond. They were definitely in 4-man fronts during those practices at times in Richmond.
Oh, they've been. Well, the sub is always a 4-man type look when they go to, or a lot of times is a 4-man type look. But it's also a case of, for this group of players, 4-3 has been the base. So if they want 3-4, and Bill always tells you, they might be doing what they're unfamiliar with, knowing that Zach Moore and Chandler Jones and Jake Beckett have all played 4-3 end and can kind of fall back on that. You know, Jamie Collins has played significant time as an outside linebacker in a 4-man front, and they're just giving them a good foundation of 3-4 in case they want it to be a greater aspect of the unit.
Jim in Walpole says, refresh my memory. Was it Ryan Mallett's rookie year when we cut Hoyer at the end of the preseason and went with Brady and Mallett?
No.
Did Mallett have a strong preseason that year? Does it not seem like the same scenario may play itself out this year with Jimmy G?
Wasn't that last year?
It was the second year.
Yeah, they had three quarterbacks that
2 years
year.
Ago?
Yeah, the first year of Mallett.
The first year that Mallett was drafted, they had three with Hoyer and Mallett. And then the second year was the year.
So if you're looking
we
for
cut Hoyer.
That's where it looked like it probably will play out, where next year Mallett will be gone.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that Mallett could be gone. This year,
I think there's a small chance.
Small chance.
10%?
This year, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
Garland says, I know people are excited to have Wilfork and Kelly back. However, I was not impressed on Thursday's game when they were in. I didn't really see any penetration from either of them. Hopefully, Easley will be ready for the beginning of the season. On a bright note, Brian Timms looked very good and can catch the ball. What a concept.
How many plays did they play? Three.
Wilfork played the first series.
And how many plays?
They went down and kicked a field goal.
Of that,
I don't know how many plays that
were
was.
Running plays?
More than not.
So, I mean, we're not going to be this super penetrating, shoot the gaps on running plays kind of defense. So, I just think people are about a little whack jobby.
Let's see. Tony says, still extremely concerned about wide receivers not named Julian, given that Dobson missed OTAs, minicamps, and some 13 practices. Can we forget about that critical year one to year two leap?
Yep.
Does Boyce's mediocre and best performance this summer, lining up all sides, running the wrong route, increase Tim's chances of getting put on the suspended list and being activated for Game 5?
Sure.
I don't know about the activated for Game 5 part, but I think he has a really good chance to be on that reserve
suspended list. I'd be stunned. Why would you cut him? He's shown you a little something, I feel like, in camp at the very least, and you don't have to cut him. You don't have to pay him. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to feed him. He's not allowed to come here and eat. It's costing you nothing.
Sean's in the Ace Ticket Hotline from Vancouver. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to get your opinion on whether or not you think Garoppolo and maybe Timms will see some action with the number ones this week or against Philadelphia's number ones.
Probably not.
Against Philly, I don't know. I would doubt it. They're not going to see with the Patriots ones, I wouldn't think. I'd be very surprised if that happened.
Yeah.
And I also think, we talked about this at the very beginning of the show, I'm anxious to see what these two joint practices do. Because if you watched last week, Freddie, last Tuesday's practice was like a three-hour marathon. Ian and I both walked off the field and said, that's going to be it. We're not going to see any of these guys Thursday night. Like, it was clear. Yeah. They played so much, there was no way they were playing in that game.
And that could be an anticipation of a year from now, because they're already talking about going from 4 to 3 preseason games. And so maybe Chip Kelly and Bill Belichick thinking ahead, goes, you know, we're going to have more of these three-hour practices in order to get
and Andy
ready.
Said it perfect. You know,
yes.
It gives you the opportunity to control absolutely every scenario that you want. So you get every – you can't control the scenarios in a game. You don't know what the down and distance is always going to be and all that stuff. And then on top of that, you get the 80 or 90 reps that Brady talked about without the threat of getting Brady hit.
Right.
Everything else is real. So it's as close to game action as you can get. I'm telling you, they went at it last Tuesday at practice. And you can control the environment and probably get more out of it than you got out of it in the game.
And you can script it. You know, they always talk about the ideal situation or the worst case situation. How does the player react in this scheme, in this call?
We saw him backed up to the 1 yard line at times in practice, coming off the goal line. We saw red zone work the other way. We saw all kinds of stuff in between. And we saw some hitting. We saw Patrick Chung and Gerard Mayo absolutely lighting guys up for Washington in some of those drills. So it was live. You know, they were hitting.
I'd also like to see Cannon at right guard, maybe with the first group as well.
We've seen that in practice. We saw it. Well, remember we had like three straight days when Conley missed a day when I believe he had a child.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
And then 2 days after that, it was all Cannon. And then that's kind of gone away a little bit. I don't know if we'll see that brought back in the game. It will be interesting to see what they do on the line with the fact that the tackles were out there last week and Conley was out there, how they mix that up. If it's the whole, you know, ones, quote unquote, whatever that may be, if the tackles, is there any chance the tackles are off and it's Fleming and Cannon playing tackle with, you know, Mankins and whoever your starting guards are and that they're manipulating it that, I don't know.
We'll see.
All right, Sean, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike on the on web radio at Patriots.com. Paul and Andy, why are you two so low on Tompkins and Boyce? You claim that neither of them look like NFL receivers, yet you two seem to think differently about Dobson. How can Dobson look like an NFL receiver if he has dropped as many balls as Tompkins or Boyce and hasn't even been able to stay on the field? Give the kids a chance.
Not sure I'm as high on Dobson as you think I am.
I also don't know that he's dropped as many balls as those two, and he certainly hasn't dropped as many recently because I haven't seen him practice.
He's been victimized by not looking as bad as the other two at practice, I'll say that.
And
you know, he benefits from not being out there.
That's part of it. The year two jump, right. I include August, and the other two look like the same. Well, certainly Tompkins looks like the same guy, and I continue to say this. He's talented, and he's not consistent. He has the flashes of he's okay, and then far too many cases of inconsistency with route running, hands, and everything that goes into being a receiver. So that makes me believe he is who he is at this point.
About a week ago, he made a couple of really acrobatic, athletic catches in the end zone in a red zone drill, twisting and contorting his body, getting down in bounds. Yesterday, saw him drop a quick slant in a hurry-up drill, just not getting, you know, when those footwork on the sideline, all of a sudden the ball sails over the guy's head by about 5 yards, and you just look and you say, I'll bet anything that was on the receiver.
Right.
There was two of those, one from Brady, one from Garoppolo.
First one was definitely on the receiver.
Right. So, but the Dobson part, I don't think I'm as high on Dobson as you think I am. I'm worried about the receiving position in general. I don't think they have answers if something were to happen to Gronkowski. I feel like they'll be right back in the same spot they were last year if Gronk is not part of the equation.
Jed from Germany wants to know when we'll be going to 3 days a week with the show. That'll be the first week of September.
Week 9.
So
I don't know. When is that? Before the game or after?
Before the game. The week before the first regular season game.
I'll have to tell the EI.
His boss. He has to tell his boss.
I'm just kidding.
He has to check in.
Toby in New York, can you explain why NFL coaches are obsessed with fumbles? I love Ridley's aggressiveness style, and I hope he keeps it despite his fumbling problem. Law firm didn't fumble, but he didn't make plays either.
Quarterbacks, tick, I knew he was going to say.
Quarterbacks throw interceptions all the time, but there are dozens of talented running backs who don't see the field because of a couple fumbles. Please explain this seemingly unfair treatment.
Before we get into this, because I'd really like to hear Andy's thoughts on why we care about fumbles. what good quarterback throws interceptions all the time and doesn't get criticized for it?
Right.
Maybe Eli Manning?
But I would even argue what quarterbacks of any kind throw interceptions all the time and get to keep playing.
That's my point.
You don't.
You throw a lot of interceptions and eventually you're going to lose
Eli's
your job.
An example because every example couple of years he has a 25-pick season. But for the most part, NFL quarterbacks throw somewhere between 8 and 17 interceptions.
So, Andy, why do we care about fumbles so much?
Because I'm pretty sure possession of the football is key. And by the way, I might agree with him if we were watching the Dante Hall of running backs, and every time he touched it, he was just an electric play waiting to happen, and then, son of a bitch, he put the ball on the ground again. But he's not.
I think he has one career rush of over 30 yards.
He's nothing. And when he does go 60, he gets caught from behind.
That was the preseason.
I mean... You're right, Paul.
He's not.
That would have never been asked post game.
They don't bring that kind of crap in the post game. But I think Ridley has talent. There's no doubt about it. He is clearly their best running back. But you got to be able to hold the ball if you're not Adrian Peterson. I mean, if you're Adrian Peterson and you're running for 2,000 yards and you're making all kinds of big plays, I suppose you can put up with three or four fumbles a year. If you're Stephen Ridley and you're running for 1,200 yards in your best year, you can't put it on the ground that many times.
And not only are you running for 2,000 yards, you're the offense.
Yeah,
it's not like you're running for any yards, cheap yards. Every play, they put eight or nine guys in the box, and they say, we're going to stop the running game. So there's an extra fist punching at the ball every play. There's an extra helmet trying to go on the ball every play.
He fumbled one yesterday, by the way.
Ridley. And that's fine. Oh,
Ridley.
John in South Carolina. Sorry, Paul. Had to give you Eric's spot with that weak comment about the callers. Look on the bright side. You will only keep that spot until Eric comes by. Okay, guys. The starting
will he
line...
be by later?
See, you should bring that to the post game. That's a post game worthy comment right there.
The starting line Thursday was our starting line, and it sucked. I had concerns with.
Wait,
left
it wasn't our starting line.
It was only the tackles that were starting.
No, I don't know that.
Conley, too.
But Logan Mankins was not in there.
It was 3 out of 5.
Right. Okay.
I know for a fact Logan Mankins is going to start. I don't know the other. Conley may not be your center, and Klein may not be your guard. I know for a fact if he's healthy, Logan Mankins is your starting left guard.
Right. And it's I have no concerns with left tackle since last year. We need an upgrade to Wendell. Do we need an upgrade at left tackle, too? I don't think right now, no. But I could see Connolly starting.
At center or guard?
At center.
I could, too.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of that.
You had three starters the other night. You didn't have your two guards.
With all due respect to the three positions Paul thinks we need to be successful, I think we need a great O-line for Brady to be successful with these receivers. And by the way, more Andy and Paul in the preseason game.
Woo!
The two monkeys in the booth might not be watching the game.
Oh, don't call Roachie a monkey.
That sort of went down a different road.
Well,
I don't care what you call Fourier, although I'd be careful.
Okay. All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It's 2 o'clock. Practice is about to start.
Woo!
So these guys need to hustle out there.
I want to see Paul hustle.
And we do have a show Thursday after all these joint practices, so we'll have a lot to talk about. That should be a great show. And then, of course, the game on Friday. So we'll see you Thursday at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.